Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We'll fight to the death. We are soldiers. We are soldiers.
Logic, Political Talk, part of the Growing Conservative Conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find us on the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And of course, also check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Check out our Give page as well, which we have some wonderful organizations on there that could use your help, as well as visit our sponsor page. We are looking for new sponsors there as well. And also, the reason I played our opening song a little bit longer than usual is I think it's very fitting for the discussion that we will have tonight about standing shoulder to shoulder together of what's going or going to be going on in Washington, D.C. on May the 16th with the Operation American Spring. And perhaps if we get some time, we'll play the entirety of this song. It's about 4 minutes, but it's a great song. And what started with that, it was actually a song for a video that was made during the 2012 election, which was kind of a motivational song for those of us who were supporting Newt Gingrich for the Republican nomination for president in 2012. And so that's a little history there on the song. Now, tonight we have the founder of Patriots of America, Colonel H. Riley, and we'll be talking about tonight, Operation American Spring. And, of course, you can read the description here we have on the show with all of his accolades on there, which are many. He had a very impressive career, which we'll talk about a little bit. But, of course, most importantly, we'll be talking about Operation American Spring. What I'll do is I'll ask a couple questions of our guests, and then I'll bring in the panelists tonight, and we will continue with that at our roundtable discussion. And so without any further ado, I will bring in Colonel Riley. Thank you very much, sir, for coming in the show. Thank you for your service to our country, and how are you?
I'm very well, Robert. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be with you tonight.
Well, it's great. It's an honor to have you on as well. And I've got a couple other shows I'm talking with, I believe, Deb, was about seeing about getting you on. So hopefully we'll be able to connect with them as well. So we'll go ahead and get right to it. So you can tell the audience a little bit more about yourself and your career. And I must say, which, you know, when I was reading about it, is impressive. And so what spurred your idea for ushering in the American Spring, and what is its purpose?
Operation American Spring has been in the works for a lot of years, maybe decades, because many of us have seen the Constitution going into the pits for a long time. And over the last 5 or 6 years under the Obama administration, given the leadership up there and the reflection of near total lawlessness, we have every reason to believe that there would be only an escalation of his lawlessness if something wasn't done about it. And now we've seen a near total disregard of the U.S. Constitution over the last 5 years, and it's really not in question, you know, in my mind. It's a reality. And it's in the minds of many of those who are down here at the end of the sewer line, you know, receiving this stuff. So, you know, we said, some of us said, God help us, what can we do? That we've been petitioning Congress, we've been calling them, we've been faxing them, we've been visiting, we've been going up there, to town halls wherever they held them and screaming at them and trying to get our demands and grievances before them for some support, some understanding, you know, some action. Even going to D.C. a number of times, millions of us even. And no matter where you see a politician, they may give you a little wink and a nod, and then basically they turn around and say, well, the pests are here, so let's let them have their day, and then they'll go away. So it's gotten to the point where I was writing a piece and a rant, and the Egyptian Spring came to mind about the principle of mass and the impact mass has, because we use mass in the military. When we were executing an operation and it came time to really maximize our forces on the enemy, we massed our power all at once. And that's basically the principle of that the Egyptians used, the Ukrainians and other nations have used, to mass people who have had enough of enough. So it came to me that this seems like maybe it's our last resort in America, because as I said before, we've pursued just about every avenue possible to try to get our elected leaders, who are supposed to be servants to we the people, not the other way around, and we were having no success, and it was getting worse. It was every year under Obama, things got worse. We know what he promised, and we know what he's delivered, and they're 180 degrees out of phase. The difference between an American Spring and an Egyptian Spring or Ukrainian Spring or something like that is that they had no formal backing to do what they did. They just did it because they didn't know what else to do. And we're sort of in the same boat here in the United States if we want to maintain the freedom and liberty we've had for 230 years. But we have a document or a couple of documents behind us. One is the Declaration of Independence. As I'm sure most all of you know, that it states that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And it goes on and says, But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, envisions a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. This was basically how our founders were feeling, and it's kind of how we're feeling right now in the United States, many of us, millions of us. And we're not talking about here about a coup, about arresting Barack Obama or anyone else. And we're not talking about dealing or doing anything with the government structure that our founding fathers gave us. What we're talking about is the lawlessness of individuals in the executive branch, in the Congress, and even in the courts. We know that no longer do we have three equal branches of government. Anybody that, you know, has any sense of what the three branches are supposed to do can say we have three equal branches of government that are carrying out their functions. The executive basically is supposed to carry out the laws that are passed by the United States Congress. The Congress are supposed to oversee the other branches. Each branch is supposed to be equal in power, overseeing each other. Well, Congress has totally relinquished their authority. They let Barack Obama do whatever he wants to do. They sit over there and whine a bit and complain, pass gas, and that's about it. And they're supposed to do, and not only that, we have a loyal opposition, which is the Republicans right now in the House, so they do have some power. But my feeling and the feeling of millions of other Americans is that there's basically little difference between Democrats and Republicans. They're basically all
feeling that way.
They're basically all focused on one agenda, that's to keep themselves in power, to keep their nose in the trough. And they've basically separated themselves from we the people. They do what they want. They ignore us, and they expect us to keep filling the trough with our tax dollars. Did anyone ever notice? You want to? I'll keep going here unless you interrupt me.
No, you got to. You go ahead.
Well, the idea is that we want to, and you know, really the target to save here is our children, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren. It's not about me. There's nothing, you know. I'll be gone probably in a few years. If we let Barack Obama continue the path he's going, our nation is going into socialism, communism. It's going to be a one-world government thing. He's trying to sell us to the United Nations and all the bankers and the corporations, you know, that own the money, the Federal Reserves, and so forth. So we believe that Operation American Spring, the idea is to field as many patriots that love liberty and freedom. And we're not talking about conservatives or liberals or blacks or whites or reds or yellows. We're talking about everybody, all those I just mentioned, truckers, bikers, everybody that feels that we're on the wrong path in America and we're scared nearly to death that this thing is going to destroy what we've been giving blood and body parts and families destructions over the last 100 years to save this nation, to keep the fabric, keep it intact. We've fought all over the world. We've been out there giving our lives for other nations to try to either restore their freedom and liberty or gain some freedom and liberty for them. And now our own nation is under threat, and we're at the point where we have to beg our own people to stand up for our own nation. You know, we either do that. And the way we're suggesting that we do that is beginning May the 16th, millions of Americans assemble in Washington, D.C., in a peaceful, nonviolent, unarmed, law-abiding group of citizens, armed just like you said in your opening, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, being Americans, being up there under the Constitution, our freedom of speech, our freedom to assemble, our freedom to offer our grievances and demands, and trusting God is going to convict these people, these lawless leaders, and those who are complicit in the United States Congress to come to their senses. The leaders have to go. We've said that. In order to bring ourselves, to bring our nation back to a beginning of constitutional restoration, the only way it can happen is that we get rid of the basic leadership that we have in Washington, D.C., and that means Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, Pelosi, and Holder. All of them have violated their oath.
Mm-hmm.
All of them have violated their oath. They're basically lawless. So for all intents and purposes, the chaos is so great that we're without a government right now. The states don't know what to do. The feds come down on top of the states. Anytime the states try to make a reasonable effort for their citizens, the feds come down on them because they feel the states are gaining some popularity, so they don't want that. They want to keep all the power in Washington, D.C. So we're just trusting that this is going to happen, and you all probably know that we have provided hard copy documents to every single representative and every single senator that lists our demands and grievances. We call it our Declaration of Revision. It's demands and grievances. And there's also a hard copy Articles of Impeachment that's been presented and prepared by a constitutional lawyer that he says they're provable and they're valid. And then there's other documents that actually identify what Operation American Spring is about. So they have all those, and we're asking them for decisions. We want solutions. So we're going to D.C. in the numbers that we must have. We must have millions. If we don't, they're going to laugh at us. They're going to say, well, you know, they're just like we thought they were. You know, they're sort of toothless. They're just going to accept what we're going to dish out, and that's what we're going to do. If we go up there in huge numbers, then that is the validation and the confirmation that of these documents that we've given the United States Congress. What we're hoping, praying for, as I said earlier, that people will come to their senses and there will be 100, 200, even 300 from the United States Congress that show up down there on the Mall with us and say, you're right. We're basically going to repent. We're going to take our oath over, and we are going to shake up the United States Congress, and we're going to do the right thing. We're going to impeach Barack Obama, and we're going to deal with anybody who will not retake their oath and commit themselves to constitutional restoration. We're going to take action to expel them. So it's the only way that we see that we can try to begin our movement back to constitutional restoration.
And speaking of state, we'll bring her in as well. Speaking of state government, we do have on the line Jane McPherson, who is running for the state senate of Pennsylvania. On the line, we'll be bringing her in later on in the conversation. But I do have another question, and then we'll bring in some of the panelists, because I know we have a group of folks who definitely would like to speak with you. And so what would you say to the naysayers such as Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show, where he states on, and I'll try to make this brief, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to read the article, but I'm going to pull this up, and he's one of the naysayers here, and he's talking about, let me scroll up here. He says, he's talking about he's received some requests for people to endorse it, but he won't because he said, let's see. He says, I've received quite a few requests from people who want me to endorse Operation American Spring by expressing the belief that all we need to do is stand up to tyranny, expose the tyranny, and tyranny will run for cover. When American protesters show up on May 16, 2014, the government will indeed run. They will run and retrieve their guns. This event, if carried out in the proposed fashion, will end very badly when the people rise up and aggressively oppose the – I think this guy's got the wrong idea about it. Oppose the government will strike back, and this group will be ill-prepared to handle the backlash. And then he continues down in his article where he's talking about and comparing Operation – American Spring with something happened in 1932 with the bonus arm where President Hoover ordered the Army to clear the veterans out where they marched on D.C. in protest against the government not paying the promised bonuses to them. What would you say, and he carries on more in the article, maybe we'll touch more later, but what would you say to folks like that?
Well, first of all, I would say that I just read what the Declaration of Independence said. We're not going up there in any illegal fashion. As a matter of fact, I know some of our members have had visits by the Secret Service and the FBI. You know, they're coming out and they're talking to some of our people about Operation American Spring. I don't know if it's for something they may have said or they're just trying to get a feel for what Operation American Spring is about. But their presence and the feedback I've gotten from our members is that it's been, you know, they're just basically questioning what the operation is about, and people are telling them basically what I've said, that it's an effort guaranteed under our rights, and it's peaceful. And they seem to think, well, that doesn't seem to them to be anything that's would draw a reasonable government, a lawful government, into any kind of a confrontation with peaceful citizens. Everybody can have their opinion, and I respect whatever Mr. Hodges says, but we look at reality. And we see what's happening to our nation, and we have two choices. We can either surrender, or we can try to do something, and we want to do it peacefully. As a military man who's been in a foxhole, who's been in combat, who's had bullets flying at him and seen heads chopped off and all that by, gunfire, and know the damage that it does to infrastructure and to people, that's the last thing we want in our nation. And I think that's what all the rest of the military, the veterans that are involved in this want. None of us, we never ever wanted to go to war when we were in the military. We did it if we had to go. We were ordered to go. And that brings me to a point about oath. When we take our oath, that means that we're putting our lives on the line, our very life. When a politician takes an oath, that means it gives them license to the trough of our taxpayer dollars. That's about it. That's the way it is today. So Mr. Hodges can say what he wants, but I think Americans are going to rise up. And if we rise up in numbers, that's going to be the best possible security we can have. And I'm encouraged based on what happened in Nevada. I'm not talking about Mr. Bundy's status one way or the other, but I'm talking about is the fact that in America we don't settle things by thugs, government thugs with weapons coming down on citizens that way. And our citizens, we the people, from New Hampshire, from Georgia, from Texas, from various other places, showed up in Nevada, not for a fight, but basically in numbers to say, we're not going to tolerate what you're doing. Now, if you start it, then that's another story. But that was very peaceful out there. Nobody, no shots were fired. Nobody was harmed in any way. And the situation kind of resolved itself, at least at this point. So I personally don't see the correlation between what we're doing in 1932, our World War I vets were trying to get what they were promised. Now they were camping and so forth, but it's a different situation. We're not going up there for anything other than freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, to present our grievances. We're not going to do any unlawful things. We'll have good relations with the D.C. police, the park police. They know us. We've been there before. They know we're calm. We always leave the place cleaner than when we got there. So, you know, it would be the most tragic mistake ever if anything got started or government did something that was unprovoked. I think the rest of America would finally flood Washington, D.C., and I don't think any of us want that. So naysayers are okay, because they have a right just like all the rest of us do. But, we think the risk is too great not to go, not to try this, what many of us believe may be the last peaceful opportunity we have to rid our nation of the direction we're on. The idea that this lawless behavior is going on and it's across party, it just indicates that there's a complicit effort going on. Do you ever hear the Democrats jumping on John Boehner? Do they ever give him any fire? No, he never gets. He just sort of cruises along. Same way with Mitch McConnell. So to me, it just senses that they're all in this together. They're all sort of, it's an incestuous relationship where they're all servicing one another, no matter what party, and they're after their own self-serving, betraying agendas. And, we're going to go up there and tell them that we think they're wrong and it needs to change, and we'll see what happens.
Speaking of Mitch McConnell, a couple of weeks ago we had Matt Bevin, who was challenging him in the primary there. So we'll hope to hear more about Matt. We're hoping to be able to do some things to maybe help his campaign financially, but to get enough time, get enough some funds for him. But anyone who has not heard the show, 2 weeks ago we interviewed Mr. Bevin on about, as I said, 2 weeks ago, so if folks want to go and listen to that show, that'd be great, and share it with others, because I think that's going to be a very important race, very important primary race that people should support with whatever funds that they can. But I do see it's only a couple minutes already to the bottom of the hour, so two things I want to bring up. One is, if you are a Twitter user, something we're doing new here on Bard's Logic, is to tweet out that you're listening to the show simply by putting "listening to Bard's Logic" and then copy and paste the link inside the message and then end it with hashtag PJNet and then send that out to all your followers. And then again, whether you're listening live now or listening on the show through the archives, just put out "listening to Bard's Logic," copy and paste in the link, and then the hashtag PJNet, and I really appreciate it. And of course, well, folks, as you may know, that May 11th is Mother's Day. So for all you men out there listening to the show, or ladies too, visit our sponsor for some great gift ideas for that special woman on Mother's Day. So let's give a minute to listen to our sponsor, and that's Zapata Jewelry.
Hi, I'm Julie Stevenson, an independent representative with Zapata Designs. Zapata is a direct selling company which offers fine sterling silver and semi-precious gemstone jewelry. If you like sterling silver jewelry, you can place an order with me. If you love sterling silver jewelry, book a home show and get the pieces you love for free. Zapata hostesses earn an average of $300 in free jewelry and 3 half-priced items. If you love our jewelry, do what I did and become a Zapata rep and earn 30% commission as well as free jewelry monthly. It's so simple. The style of our home parties is always an open house with no formal presentation. You can access my website on Bard's Logic, then call me to start living the life you deserve. 513-378-8876. I can't wait to hear from you.
So, folks, don't forget to visit the sponsor page on bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com to get that special gift. So now we will move on to the show, and I will open up the lines to our panelists. First, we will bring on Dan. Thank you very much, Dan, for calling into the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Colonel, a couple of personal notes, and I've been taking notes on everything you've been saying. You're an awesome man, sir. You are one of America's refounders, and I appreciate your efforts a great deal. First of all, it was an honor to fill in for you on that podcast show a couple of weeks back from Clayton from Texas. I hope your wife is doing well, sir. She's in our prayers, as are you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Suzanne Price is doing an excellent job with security. She was very, very diligent in checking me out this evening before I hope I passed muster. Colonel, you're right. What's going on now from both sides has been in the works for years, for decades. Obama is just the culmination of generations of this so-called progress. But that's not to say that we have anything to fear except for inaction. Okay, if the light of liberty does go out in the United States, what hope has the rest of the world got? With this brave new technology that's coming online as we speak, this may be our last chance for liberty, peacefully, ever. Now, as far as Mr. Hodges, my take on his claim that there's going to be violence, it's typical pseudo-historical false rationality in the guise of prudence. The bonus march and the crackdown happened, but there was nothing at the time but Pathé newsreels to show it months later. The idea that the federal government would risk all credibility and standing by firing on unarmed protesters in the nation's capital live on millions of smartphone videos, it strains credibility. They have the hubris, and they harbor hate for the people, but they have proven that they are no fools. Look at the way they stood down in the face of the militia out in Bundyville. The small but very real risk of violence in Washington, D.C. at OAS is no cause to deter patriots from attending. As Ben Franklin said, if we don't hang together, surely we will all hang separately. I'm also, in addition to all the peaceful things that I do, and this is peaceful so far, I work with Heritage Foundation and Americans for Prosperity, certainly peaceful organizations. Heritage, by the way, tweeted out the link to the show today. They had to close to 500,000 of their followers, and as best I can figure on Twitter, looks like another 400,000 got retweeted. So there's close to a million people, aside from Facebook and all the other methods of promotion. During the Bundyville standoff, I was at a statewide militia summit, and our acclaimed leader, acclaimed only because he has no a particular position other than the fact that we respect him. He's a military man like yourself with a tremendous integrity, and we've just acclaimed him. We said, you're the guy. We want you to be in charge. But he wasn't there. He was out in Bundyville with several of our guys, and just as we were finishing hours and hours long organizational session, he was live on the phone with us when the feds stood down. And I will tell you that there was not only cheers and prayers, but not a few tears, and it wasn't just the ladies who were crying. It's not just, as you said, it's not just socialism and communism, the one world order, bankers and corporation. It's way older than that. As you said, it's been in the works for a long time. These men and women, they're tyrants. They want to be kings. The question is whether we are going to permit this or not. And for those who are frightened, I'd like to remind them, as I have before, that the massed forces of Pennsylvania, and I'm from PA, proudly, Pennsylvania hunters, armed with high-powered weapons, who do not commit crimes, They're very peaceful, law-abiding people, but extremely dangerous. I mean, they have high-powered weapons. They know how to use them. A lot of vets and police officers, et cetera. In PA alone, we have more armed hunters than all federal, civilian, and military armed agents worldwide. And this is something people need to remember. Can they mass 200 to 300 armed agents with tanks and helicopters on any one of us? You bet. Can any of us stand against that? No way. Can they do that against all of us and defeat us in detail? Only if we permit them to continue dividing us. I will say to those who criticize American Spring for organizational issues, it is controlled chaos, but I'm not worried. I'm actually impressed. With almost no budget and a great number of people who have enthusiasm but very little experience, the nature and the level of sophistication that has been consistently growing is better than any organization that I've seen start from nothing and start moving. And believe me, that's just about everything within a 150, 200-mile radius of where I'm at in the anthracite coal regions of Pennsylvania. So is it perfect? Is it a well-oiled military machine that's trained for this function for years? No. Is it people who are learning quickly and making necessary sacrifices and devoting a great deal of time, effort, energy, and money to making this work? And is it working? Clearly, yes. And the difference between Operation American Spring and all those other springs that sprung up around the world, even little ones like Iceland, which were very successful, but there's a big difference. As you said, Colonel, backing us up is the Declaration and the Constitution. But more so, at home, in all those counties, are 100 million armed patriots, armed with 300 million firearms, who don't want to have to use them. And believe me, the people in the federal government, they don't want to have us use them either, because they'd lose. And as you said, the collateral damage to any fight, even a barroom fight, is a terrible thing with drastic and lifelong consequences. We don't want to see anyone shot. We don't want to see anyone maimed. We don't want to see anything burned or blown up. But if we don't do this now and peacefully, we may have no other alternative. Sir, I know you're a grandfather, and I'm a father, and many of us have children, and we want to see our children live in the way that they mean to live, to pursue their own happiness. I will sacrifice anything I own, including my life, which belongs to God, not me. I'm just borrowing it for a little while, to make certain that my daughter and your grandchildren and Bob's daughter and all the rest of them never have to live on their knees as slaves. We have to attack. We have to pressure these people who want to be our kings on all fronts. Every single issue is worth it, whether it's pro-life or pro-Second Amendment or anti-NSA. Even Democrats and progressives and Green Party people are starting to wake up, get rid of the Kool-Aid, and smell the tyranny. And they're coming together with all the people on the right and all the people in the center and libertarians and the militias and everybody else for a unity of single purpose. We're willing to compromise on anything. Nobody has all the answers, but I will never compromise on basic constitutional principle. I'm almost done, so I appreciate you letting me rant here. Another note that you'd mentioned is the three equal branches of government in the federal system. But it's supposed to be counterbalanced by the states, and that's in the Constitution. And although most people forget it or ignore it, the Ninth Amendment exists, which is that all powers not specifically delegated to the federal government or to the states are reserved by the people. We are an active part of that compact. They don't have a deal where we're just pawns. This is up to us. If had we done our job, our due diligence over the many years, and just kicked out 5%, 1 out of 20 of these crooked politicians, every single election cycle, they never would have gotten this out of hand. And while we groom and develop these new leaders that we're bringing on, like people like Matt Bevin, Bob Guzzardi, you know, I don't have to agree with everything, but they're honest and they're patriotic and they want the Constitution. While we do that, the current crop of fools and tools in D.C. and in the state capitals who pretend to be leaders, can be used. We can use them to our advantage. If we present a massive parade, it pressures them to position themselves as leaders by endorsing our liberty agenda, which can stop things like this immigration fiasco in its tracks. It can stop Common Core in its tracks. It can stop all of these agendas that they have where they just laugh at us. Boehner laughs at us. He's a fool, and he thinks we're fools. He thinks that we are going to acquiesce to a wholesale changes in the way that America was and does do business, and he's wrong about that. But he's a politician, and believe me, if we show up with 10 million people and a continuing ongoing presence of a million people and rallies that are not the official OAS but that are in support of OAS across the nation, he'll get the message, and he'll get in front of that parade to show that he's really a leader. And those who say that Americans don't care and that we're lazy and that we're apathetic and that we're self-absorbed, it's true. We are. But don't ever forget that our favorite shows are reality shows based on real competition with time limits and winners and losers. We're last-minute, Hail Mary, taking care of business, get-her-done kind of folks. We're still exactly like our ancestors who came here before us. We're the people who said no. They said no to the ancient regimes. We say no the same way, to tyrants, to kings. And I could go on for hours myself, sir, but this is not a show about me.
Go ahead, Colonel, then we're going to bring in James.
Yes.
After that, go ahead, Colonel.
What can I say? Everything he said was on target. The only thing I think he might have misspoke about the 9th and 10th Amendment there, but I know what he was talking about, the 10th Amendment. But,
well, the 10th
you know,
is the states and the 9th is the people.
Yeah. There's so many issues that indicate that the whole entire government in Washington, D.C. has just totally abandoned the Constitution. The way they have dealt with, and I'll just mention one. I mean, I could quickly mention the Fast and Furious, this IRS scandals, the Tea Party attacks, the NSA treachery, on and on. But the Benghazi thing is the one that rips my heart out. And we know that with this latest revelation of the email from the White House that they were pushing the video, to try to protect the policies of the Obama administration, to try to impact the election and to keep Obama's policy of the Al Qaeda's on the run. They did that with. It was such a despicable act, it's hard to even comprehend that we have such treacherous, self-serving, betraying people in government. But the heart-ripping thing, and I expect you all can still see it, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton standing in the shadow of four coffins as they arrive back, I believe, at... they're in D.C. from Benghazi. They were standing there with their hands over their heart. And, of course, we had grieving parents and families in the background. And then later, Clinton stood and looked in the eyes of grieving mothers and fathers and explained to them that their sons were lost because there was a video produced that the Muslims reacted to, and basically the attack was, that's what caused the attack. And they knew very well right then, there was no doubt, they knew right then that they were telling these grieving families a bald-faced lie. Mm-hmm. Now, you have leadership in Washington, D.C. that has that level of character, And they're leading our nation? How in the world? I mean, this is the most despicable thing, and those people, neither one of them, Barack Obama nor Hillary Clinton, should even be considered as worthy of leading a dog pound. It's hard to explain how people can stand and look at others in their eyes, tell them a bald-faced lie, simply for their political expediency, to maintain their power and for their own selfish agendas. So I'll get off of that soapbox and let you go ahead, Robert, with your next one.
Okay, and first before I bring James in, it'll be real short. Got a message here in chat from Piano Butch. I want to read it before it scrolls away. It says, it scroll away. It says, remind all that Obama drew 800,000 for his first Berlin-Brandenburg Gate speech in 2009, but could only draw 4,800 for his June 2012 Brandenburg Gate speech. Americans do not know this. And then continues a little bit on. Okay, I'll scroll that down for that later. But first I want to, because I said I was going to read that one, and then I want to move it on to James. So thank you very much, James. Of course, founder of Overpasses for America. Thank you very much, James, for coming to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Robert. How are you doing tonight?
Well, great. Now, we've got James on, then Colonel can respond to your comments, and we're going to bring in our panelist, Kelly. Go ahead, James.
Well, first off, Colonel, I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to go to D.C. and deliver the articles of impeachment and the redress of grievances and the information packet, you know, on exactly what Operation American Spring was. I mean, that's something that, you know, I was honored to do it. I was honored to do it, and I thank you for calling me and asking me to help out with that. And everybody that went with me, they were, you know, it was an epic journey and an incredible honor to be able to help you do that, to try to fix this, what's going on in this country.
That's the way you operate with your organization, James, you and your people. You react almost on a moment's notice, and we appreciate you, brother, and all your people, and know we're going to have a great event for America on beginning May the 16th. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And just so you know, there are plans for the Beltway on the 16th. I won't meet you early in the morning there on the 16th because we'll be out on the Beltway letting everybody know what's going on, and also crawl across the country. We'll have people out letting them know just exactly that something is going down in D.C. because, you know, if any past events are any indication, we're going to have a media blackout, and so we're going to do our best to make sure that everybody knows regardless. You know, it just this is an incredible opportunity for the whole country. You know, really, is anybody that understates or underestimates the necessity of this really needs to pause and give that some more thought, because this is, you know, we're looking at history here, and you know, you're the architect of this historical moment, and you know, we're setting the example for future generations, and really, we just can't. We can't understate its importance. We really cannot. The one question that people have had, and I mean, I've been able to dismiss it pretty well with just plain logic, but just a lot of people mentioned where they read about the tribunal that's brought up in some of the OAS articles, and they say that you're leading an unconstitutional movement. Just to ease their mind in that, what could I communicate to them from you in regards to that?
Well, we're basically saying there, we're focusing on the word principle when we identify some people that said the principle that certain individuals reflect is what we need to to deal with people that might be breaking the law, violating the Constitution, to actually have an investigation to see if people voted for laws that are in violation of the Constitution that none of the branches of government have dealt with. We're not talking about anything outside the Constitution. We're talking about an investigation or however Congress might decide to find people with principles of individuals who are constitutionally focused and proven to look into those things. We're talking about the Constitution, and we want to make sure we follow it completely to the letter. You talk about also, James, about the communication and potential blackouts, and of course your people are going to be real live communicators all over the nation and around the Beltway. And we are putting together a communication system using smartphones that's going to be headquartered, if you will, in OAS2014.com. There'll be a system whereby there'll be a smartphone project that video will be happening in various spaces around the mall or around Washington. And if the internet doesn't go down, then everything that goes on there will be broadcast via smartphone through OAS 2014 on the internet to the world. And not only ours, but there's going to be plenty of blog talk, radio reporting live there. And as somebody else mentioned, there's going to be, you know, hundreds if not thousands of videos of all things which will keep any kind of nasty behavior or anything that like that under the lens. So this is another security measure that we have. But I do want to thank you, James, for your support. And you were one of the early ones that locked arms with us and partnered to stand shoulder to shoulder and for liberty and freedom. And none of us have any personal agenda whatsoever. It's all about trying to begin our nation back to constitutional restoration. As has been mentioned by Ray, I believe, that we have no donation button. It is grassroots. We believe that we're being pushed by the wind of God up on this because it started out with nothing, and all of a sudden it grew legs, and it wasn't because we had any national leader pulling us up or any big corporations with deep pockets funding things. We've just been doing it on a shoestring, but we've got the wind, I believe, of the Lord, and we're under his wing, and we're going to see what he's got in store for us, and I'm excited about it, and I trust America is going to join us, and it is going to be historic.
Amen, Colonel.
And with that, I'm going to, gentlemen, bring in our other panelist, and that is Kelly Mordecai, which we can call our constitutional expert. Thank you very much, Kelly, for coming into the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm not an expert in the Constitution, just a scholar. As I mentioned before, to be an expert, it would take decades, case law history, the pain they went through to develop
it. Go ahead.
The pain they went through to pen such a brilliant document, it would take decades to fully get in Federalist Papers. So, scholar, I'll accept that. All right, I'm very honored to be in the presence of Colonel Riley. My dad was in the Korean War in the Navy. My brother was also in the Navy, and I get to reap the benefits of a very peaceful, orderly existence and try to prosper as an engineer. And so, I'm very honored. And what I'm saying is, thank you for your service to our country over and over.
Thank you.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier you are petitioning for redress of grievance to congressmen, and of course, I'm not surprised they're not listening. You know, Rand Paul might, Justin Amash, Ted Cruz, but they are outnumbered and basically crucified in many ways. Of course, the executive branch isn't going to listen. I have a question for you, and then I want to hopefully help you with something most people don't know about. Historically, the right of petition was to go to whom or what body of government? And this was actually affirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court in Natalie versus Florida and more recently Bureau of Duryea versus Garnieria. Historically, who was a petition intended to go to? What body of government? Are you aware of this?
No. No, you mean initially? No, I'm not.
It's a body of people that existed 500 years before the Constitution. It came out of the Magna Carta. It's called the Grand Jury, Everyday People Empowered to Investigate the Government. And your right of petition, I have researched this well over 100 hours on just the right of petition alone, is to go to the Grand Jury unfettered. We have a system right now where, and I helped somebody submit a petition over Obama's kill list and three Americans being killed with drones overseas. Even the Senate got involved and wrote, Chuck Grassley and others wrote a letter, what are you doing? What's your justification for doing this? And I'm talking about the legal grand jury, not the common law or the de jure grand jury, but the legal system that's in place that has been used to take out a number of, more recently, State House Senator Leland Yee of California, and we have, of course, Governor Blagojevich. It's a very powerful system, and most people do not know about this. The reason why I bring this up is I'm suspecting with your years of experience and service, you would be in a position just like Ted Gunderson. Ted Gunderson was the director of the FBI, I believe it was either L.A. or Houston. And after he retired, he had a lot of government people come to him as whistleblowers. And this is corrupt, and this is corrupt, and this is going on, and he didn't know what to do. And so what I'm offering you, and I want to offer my phone number to you through Robert, so we can talk more about this, but we can submit petitions to grand juries, and like the Leland Yee situation, for example. He was a gun-grabbing Democrat. And yeah, Eric Holder, who was very, I bet he wasn't pleased when Leland Yee got indicted, but they kept it undercover, and they kept the investigation going until Leland Yee had handcuffs on his hands. And what am I saying? I'm saying even when we got a Democrat president and a Democratic attorney general, the grand jury can do its own thing, and it's extremely powerful. It was what the famous Watergate 7 indictment of March 1st, 1974, which led to the downfall and resignation of President Nixon, Richard Nixon. This is something, of course, I wrote a book about, The Hidden Fourth Branch, and it is a necessity, what has been, if you're in the 1800s, this would be a no-brainer. By now, most of the Congress and the Senate would be indicted by the grand jury for violating their oath of office, for violating the citizens' rights. It would be, you know, John Jay gave the charge in 1793 to the Richmond Grand Jury. Your job is to investigate the offenses against the laws of the United States, which include the Constitution, laws passed by Congress, and treaties. So this is a very powerful tool. And if you have a situation where you have a whistleblower coming to you where you're not sure what to do, that's why I want to give you, through Robert, my phone number, and we can talk, you know, in the next few days if you like. And I can tell you endless stories, county level, state level, governors, federal judges even. The grand jury has just taken them out. So that's what I'm talking about. And right now the Obama administration, Eric Holder, has directed USAs or U.S. attorneys to not submit petitions to grand juries. And why do they do that? Because they are afraid of everyday people going after them. The very fact that most people don't know this, the reason why most people don't know about this is that those who want to commit corruption do not want you to know you have this option. That was the very point of petition in our First Amendment.
Okay, it seems like every opportunity that individuals have taken, for example, against Barack Obama over the last several years, that nothing can stick because every time you go up through the legal system, some judge says, well, you don't have standing.
Right. That is called a court case or a lawsuit. When the grand jury gets a hold of it, it's a completely different animal. It is called a matter. When a petition is received, grand jury begins investigating. It's called a matter. It's a completely different universe.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and in Georgia, I'll give you another example. In Decatur, Georgia, or DeKalb County, there is a grand jury convened to oversee what's going on with the corruption here. And their investigation, the grand jury investigation, led back to the very judge that convened them, and they indicted the judge. This is how powerful this is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I served on a, I don't know if it's what you're talking about or not, but I served on a grand jury back 3 years ago or so where a grand jury was basically convened. I was asked if I would serve. And basically we brought up charges against Barack Obama. We heard the charges. We indicted him. We wrote a presentment. And there was quite a number of people on the grand jury, and we all took these presentments and presented them to sheriffs and everywhere we could. And nothing happened.
Was this a common law grand jury, or how was it convened?
Yeah, it was, I guess.
Yeah, they have no power.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court has ruled on that, U.S. versus Williams.
Yeah.
And so the sheriff will just throw it away.
Yes,
like
that's what happened.
Yeah, well, Leland Yee, again, this is a United States attorney with a special federal grand jury. It was legitimate, legal, everything, and as soon as that indictment came out, they went and arrested him. So that's barking up the wrong tree, if you will. And I've heard these people, and they don't understand certain tenets of our legal. I mean, Governor Blagojevich, I can name federal judges. Gerald B. Carson, the Supreme Court Justice of New York, he was taken out by a grand jury. I tell you, end the stories of the legal system working, but the common law doesn't work. That's where I'm going with this. And the reason why common law people don't want to go to the system is because they say, well, the judges are corrupt and won't get to a grand jury, and they are, in many respects, correct.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've discovered ways, and I'm working with a constitutional attorney, hopefully Judge Gray from the Libertarian Party. He's interested as well as helping out. He's just really busy. He was a VP candidate under Gary Johnson. We have found ways to counter all these tricks that they will do to block the petition.
Okay. Well, I'd like to talk to you later.
You know, definitely.
Yeah, and thanks again for coming.
Folks, and I'll call you sometime in the near future, next day or so, Colonel, and I could get you Kelly's number that way.
Okay.
But I want to see if there's anything you'd like to comment on, Colonel, and then we have Jay McPherson, who is running for State Senate of Pennsylvania on the line, and we'd like to bring her in as well. So, but first, real quick, folks, if you are a Twitter user, something we're doing new here on Barge Logic is just put in the little message box, listening to Barge Logic, and then copy and paste in the link, and then put in hashtag PJNets, and then send it out to your followers. Again, it is just put in listening to Barge Logic, and then copy and paste in the link, and then hashtag PJNets. So it's also the top of the hour here, so I see if folks would also like to listen in or chime in tonight. Give us a call at 347-945-7428 and become a part of the roundtable discussion. So the mic is yours, as we say here on the show. Colonel Riley, go ahead.
I really don't have any further comment. I just appreciate the gentleman's guidance and information and his dedication to trying to do what we're all doing, trying to get us back to a lawful nation.
And again, another question here real quick from someone in the chat. Piano Butch asks if that the present legal struggle is caused by the National Emergency Act of September 11, 1976, and the dictatorial power that rests in the executive under the national state of emergency. What's your comments on that?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about that. I can't even comment.
Okay. Well, then at this time, and that's fair enough, we will bring in Jane McPherson. Thank you very much, Jane, for calling to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm on. I'm Jane.
Hi, Jane, yes. Jane McPherson.
Well, I'm running for the 50th District of Pennsylvania. And what happened was is I'd like to thank the colonel for his service. I've never served myself, but I have four children that either had served or are serving to protect the freedoms of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And the Benghazi thing was really close to my heart because I was actually at Fort – what was it? What's in North Carolina? Fort Bragg.
Fort Bragg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on base at Fort Bragg when that happened because I was bringing my daughter's car back to Pennsylvania while she was going to be leaving for Afghanistan.
Mm.
And it seemed kind of interesting that we had a different take about what was going on there from what I heard when I got to finally listen to the news, and it was like, that's not what really happened. But anyways.
Yeah.
There's been a group of us, we've been studying the Constitution for like the last 6 years and following what's going on in D.C., and eventually we started following letter writing, calling, blah, 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 and started following what's going on in Harrisburg and was noticing so many of the bills that are being written today violate our basic freedoms and our basic rights, and we felt that somebody needs to go to Harrisburg that's actually read the Constitution, and so that's why I'm running. Wonderful to hear everything that you had to say today. The only thing that I would add to it is one of the things that I talk about a lot is the committee precinct people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about how it is in other states, but here in our area of Pennsylvania, pretty much all the precincts are like only filled like one quarter of the ways, and the precinct people are the first line of defense to prevent the corruption on the local levels. And if we can start filling our precincts with good liberty people and people that have read the Constitution, that should trickle up, because our roots of our political system is the precinct people. And if the roots are good, the top is automatically eventually going to be better. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but...
Jane, this is Dan Gray. I'd just like to just mention, you're running in the 50th. That's Butler, Crawford, Lawrence, and Mercer?
That's all of Mercer, all of Crawford, Southern Erie, and Western Warren County.
You know, you're yet another one. I haven't met you yet personally, which
mm-hmm.
is amazing, because we have like 100 friends in common on Facebook. We've been friends for a while. Jane is one of the many people who are not politicians, just as the colonel is not a politician, just as James is not a politician. None of us are professionals at this, and yet we're all stepping out of our comfort zones for a necessary cause, because we just can't allow our government to go amok like this, to just run rampant over people's rights. Jane, I see your picture on Facebook, and that looks like your son is a proud young man in fatigues, and he's putting everything he has on the line and worrying you, I'm sure, every single day, and the rest of us can do no less. Whether
yeah.
we've served or we haven't, we must serve here and now. And one of the best ways, as the colonel said, is to mass our forces. May 16th, Friday, is a start, but it will be an ongoing event. So those of you who, you know, I see all the people say, oh, I can't go that day, I'm working. I can't go that day, I've got family issues. You can support from wherever you are. And there will be an ongoing presence. There's people who are opening up their homes and opening up their backyards and opening up their campgrounds in Virginia and Maryland and all the surrounding areas. And there's going to be daily commuting for protests. We'd like to see 1 million people on the streets of Washington, D.C. every day, all summer long. And not just, well, I expect a lot of people from the left to come too, but I want to let everyone know this is not Occupy. There's going to be no breaking windows, and we're leaving it cleaner every single day than it was when we showed up in the morning. The park police will have nothing to do to keep order because we're orderly, and the people who clean up, the custodial people, the garbage people, sanitation engineers, whatever you want to call them, they're going to have a really, really easy time because everything's going to be neatly collected, bagged, and I suppose we'll even get the recycling separated for them.
Well, there you go. I like the sound of that, recycle. Go ahead, Colonel.
Yeah.
I knew you would, Bob. I knew you would.
Yes, so I'm the resident tree hugger. Go ahead.
Who's up?
You are, Colonel.
Yes,
Colonel. You're the guest of honor.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased to hear, that we have a person who is interested in the Constitution and realizes exactly what's going on, done her homework. I know my daughter lives in Pennsylvania. She's outside, I believe it's Beaver County.
Okay.
And she was just down to Harrisburg a couple of days ago where they had a big Second Amendment gathering. But she's very active and will be in D.C. with us. In fact, she's putting together our medical operation, and it's just people coming together and like she's doing, reaching out and finding doctors and RNs, and be sending medical supplies for storage down in an area of D.C. or the Maryland area where somebody has volunteered. And we've got our security details that are putting things together, and we're trying to do our best to make sure that, those folks that come, giving them guidance on what to bring, how to behave themselves and limitations and so forth. So there's a lot goes into it, and it's it certainly is not my. I'm not the cause of this.
No, Colonel, but something. You, as a military man, and your resume is people say words like impressive. It's respectable, sir. It's extremely respectable. And as a military man who's worked his way up the echelons, you understand logistics. I am impressed, as I said, with the organization, because you're covering important bases that most organizations who do rallies that are one-day events don't need to cover, like medical, like transportation, like food, like organization. I do want to give one word of caution to everyone who attends in Washington, D.C. Your daughter attended a rally with a lot of friends of mine on the 29th in Harrisburg for the Second Amendment. It was Gun Owners of America, Gun Rights, GRAA, a bunch of other great groups. And that was open carry. There were people there with AR-15s and, various. I bring my shotgun when I go to those things and I speak. And I've spoken in Harrisburg and other places on that very subject. That's legal according to the rules of the state of Pennsylvania. In Washington, D.C., guns are not legal unless you have a Washington, D.C. permit, and even then they're extremely restricted. Do not bring firearms. Do not bring them in your car. Do not bring loose shell casings. Go if you haven't used that piece of luggage in a while, make sure you go through it. People have been arrested for shell casings of spent cartridges. Don't bring them. Now,
absolutely. Issues we've really come on hard ever since, from the very beginning. In fact, we have rules of engagement that are clearly identified and are everyone's bound by them. Now we've spoken with national militia leaders, and they've told us that whatever the numbers are, 1.2, 1.8 million militiamen, they have been mobilizing, but obviously they're not all. You can't expect all of them to come, but they are abiding by the same rules of engagement that all of us are abiding by: peaceful, nonviolent, unarmed, and law-abiding. Abiding by every rule and law that that applies in Washington D.C.
That's
so
true. There's going to be an awful lot of
across
people.
The board.
A lot of people are going to be looking. They don't. Most people don't watch their mainstream media anymore, and when they do, they don't believe it. So the fact that they're not going to cover us, or they're going to slam us, or they're going to say, you know, disparaging left backhanded compliments, that doesn't worry me, because people do use the alternate media that's out there, and they're going to be looking very carefully to see who are these people. It's amazing how many people are still not aware of basic things, but they see something and it goes viral, and this is already going viral. People are waking up all the time and looking at this saying, what's this about? When it begins to happen on May 16th, we have to provide them with pictures that show that we are everyday, ordinary Americans, and that we are peaceful, and that we are clean, and that we are of all colors, races, ages, backgrounds, and that we come together for a single purpose, which is to restore the constitutional primacy of law, not to change anything about the government, just to change the corrupt people who are ruling the government. Now, there are other rallies, and some people, I guess in California or whatever, I'll be done in a sec, Bob, can't necessarily make it to D.C. so easily. You can have rallies in support of what they're doing and use the same rules. Now, of course, in Pennsylvania, open carry is legal. I'm going to be promoting OIS Saturday, coming up the 3rd at for a rally for the Constitution in Valley Forge. We are expecting 3,000 bikers. We have militia bikers, veterans bikers. We have police drill team bikers, and we're going to be riding into Philadelphia with multi-jurisdictional escort. There are plenty of people out there, and I want to remind the average listener who may not know law enforcement officers or military personnel, you see the bad guys. You see the ones who break the rules and dishonor their pledge and their oath. You see the ones who smear their badge, because they stand out. And there are far too many of them, and that's politics, because they're allowed to be in those forces and they shouldn't be. However, more of them, the vast majority of the sworn personnel in this country, are in spirit, in heart, with us, and they agree with the Constitution. They signed up in the first place to serve and put themselves in danger, not for the sake of being able to abuse power or to steal, but for the sake of serving their country, serving their communities with honor, and to try and enforce reasonable constitutional law. So they're not our enemies. We don't want to make them our enemies. Those who are in service, in uniform, who break their oath, that's a different matter. They become criminals when they do that. But most of them aren't. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
I get carried away.
We've got some other callers he'd like to chime in. We have Judson calling in. Judson, thank you very much for calling in, just to let us know where you're calling from, and thank you very much for coming to the show.
I'm calling from the East Coast, Colonel Riley. I'd like to thank you for your efforts. My family is seventh generation American. Two brothers came in 1628, landed just north of Boston. I was raised in the Adirondacks, just a few miles down the road from the Fort William Henry. And spent an awful lot of time in law libraries and law schools around the nation studying the Constitution since 1974. Sir, I need to share with all the listeners and yourself the very epicenter of the cancer that has control of this nation that's gone wild is without any question the people with the ability to endlessly print worthless paper script known as reserve. The Federal Reserve, with the monopoly to print all of the money, are able to channel that to their own lieutenants and their own colonels and control the entire show. This is the cancer that has raped America. Now, my point being, I spent a lot of years in Houston, Texas, kicking the living, you know what, out of the savings and loans and banksters during the 1980s. I didn't stop. I kept right on fighting all the way through the 90s and in the early parts of the new century. And you see today the largest financial calamity in the history of the world caused by the Bushes, the Cheneys, the Clintons, the Gores, the Obamas, and the Bidens, and others, but primarily the last three presidential administrations has virtually destroyed the American economy. I hate to be mean to this functional idiot that is currently in the Oval Office. I have zero respect for that moron and his wife in China waving red flags around, and I'm sure, Colonel Riley, if you fought communists, that wasn't very satisfactory to you either.
No.
My father
Despicable.
Was a Pacific Fleet fighter pilot during the Second World War, and he described for me what it was like to go up in a piston-engined aluminum aircraft against Japanese guns. And my father described it very succinctly. He was terrified. It's what kept him alive. I see OAS as a big step in the correct direction. I don't see failure as an option. This country is in deep trouble. And this thing called Barry Santoro or Barry Dunham or Barack Obama or whatever the heck his name is an absolute enemy of this republic.
Mm-hmm.
And I repeat, for anybody listening, including NSA, Department of Homeland Security, or FBI, I don't care who they are, my name is Judson Brown Witham. And I've been in this war against these banksters since 1970, when they took my mother and father down at Harris Bay at Lake George, New York. I've been in this war 40 years, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I know that what I said when I began to speak about this rotten cancer, the private international oligarchs that have the monopoly to create money, tsunamis of it, rivers of endless worthless reserve notes. They're financing their own organized criminals, and that would be the Democrats and the Republicans. I am disgusted with the Bushes, and I'm disgusted with the Clintons and the Obamas and the Bidens and the Bonners and the Pelosis and the Reeds. I go on all day long. And the judges in this country, how dare they? Colonel Riley, I wish you and all of the people that support Operation American Spring swift victory, sir. And I can't tell you where I am tonight because I know that I'm on a bunch of lists. I'm positive of that. You look up bank looting and real estate fraud and type in my last name and you'll understand why I just said what I said. We must, we have to, there is no alternative. We must stop dead in its tracks the Federal Reserve, because they are the international oligarchs that are killing this republic.
Yeah, you know, Justin, getting on that list is easy, because I think the list includes anyone who likes the Constitution, insists on religious freedom, insists on freedom of speech, freedom of association, thinks the government's too big. I mean, these are official Department of Homeland Security. Yeah.
The United States Secret Service knows very well who I am, and I am not afraid at all to speak the truth any longer.
Seriously,
if I'm on all their freaking lists. They can take their lists and shove them.
It's a great thing.
Hold on. Go ahead, Dan.
It's a great thing, Justin, to be on those lists.
Any curse words. Go ahead.
Yeah, we don't want to curse. And it's also a great thing to move up on those lists. That's my particular personal goal. I'm sort of a very competitive guy. I don't compete so much with other people because they're doing their thing. But whatever I did yesterday, my personal best has to be exceeded every single solitary day. So my goal is to consistently hurt them more and help the decent ones more. I want to rise on that list. I don't think I'll ever make number one. I mean, there's some really prominent people out there like Ted Cruz, I suppose, and many others, and people like Jane McPherson who are, you know, stepping into politics. However, I want to be just as high up on that list. I want them to hate my guts. And you know, all they have to do to make it right, all they have to do is to go and publicly confess their crimes and take their lumps and go to prison and serve their time for breaking their oath. And, you know, I have a little bit of a different take on this because people talk about politics. Let's bring this into a clearer fashion. Everybody's familiar with basic criminal law. We all watch those TV shows and movies. It's fraud when you give your word and break your word for financial gain. Every one of them is getting something in return for breaking their word. They took a sworn legal oath. Just as you and I take oaths.
One question, sir. Just one question.
Go ahead.
I need to get this out.
Real quick, gentlemen, because I'm going to interject here for a second. Go ahead and ask a question, then I want Dan to respond, then I want to bring the colonel back in. And I do say it's about the bottom of the second hour. And for anyone who is familiar with the show, we know that at the stroke of midnight Eastern time, which is in about a half an hour, those listening to the live version of the show will be unceremoniously kicked out. So if you'd like to listen to what we call the extended version, which is about another hour after midnight, you can call us at 347-945-7428 to enjoy the discussion. Join the discussion, of course, enjoy as well. We definitely got a lot of good folks on here tonight, and it's well appreciated. So go ahead, Justin, with the question, and then Dan, if you can... Yeah, I guess answer that. We'll bring it back to the colonel. And then we've got Butch on the line as well who would like to chime in. So go ahead, Justin.
Just a quick point. Please, everybody listening, pay a close attention to this question with every one of your brain cells. Colonel Riley, if you and I have a monopoly and we have control of railroad cars full of paper and ink and you and I can print all the cash we want, don't we control the system, sir?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Colonel Riley. God bless and Godspeed, sir.
Yep. Thank you.
Yep.
Well,
Bob,
not only, I mean, Judson has everything he said is why OAS and other things that we've talked about so far in the program all scream for some resolution, and there's so many things that are going on in the nation that are just in total violation of the Constitution, violation of our heritage, violation of just common decency and common sense. It's almost beyond description, and we just have to get going and bring this massive, gigantic gathering in D.C. to cement and to validate and confirm exactly where America is, where it's standing. We know that everything is going downhill for Obama. The whispers now in Congress about impeachment. Holder is another issue that here is the individual who's supposed to be the legal protector of the laws, and an individual who says, well, you know, he'll enforce which ones he wants. So there's so many things going on, it's hard to keep track of them all. But we, has been mentioned, this operation, the initiative, has been gaining strength, and it's not because of any human intervention, I don't think. It's getting legs because we've got God's wind behind us, and if we've got that, then we're not going to lose.
You know, Colonel, when you say legs, I met an old black lady when I was a young man going across country. I was like 17, a real little jerk. My parents gave me $100 and a bus ticket and said, go learn something. And I did. And she was a born again and an evangelist, and she knew the Bible backwards and forwards. And I knew it, but I didn't really know it. And she told me, prayer's got to have feet. And I was like, what are you talking about? And it was a verse. She gave me this really great talk about how God's willing to help you. God wants us to be free. He gives us this free choice so we can decide whether we're going to come to him or not. It's in the Constitution that the right preexisted to decide whether you want to worship or not, or what manner you want to worship or not. But if you have this free choice and you want God's help, it's not enough to just pray and hope for good things. You have to actually do something about it. And whatever that thing that you decide to do is, it's a good thing. Here in Pennsylvania, you were talking about Holder deciding not to enforce laws. We have an attorney general who has decided on her own not to enforce the law that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. That was the Defense of Marriage Act here in Pennsylvania. She said she doesn't like it. Well, that's not her place. And Daryl Metcalf, who is a state senator who will hopefully be reelected, and Jane might be joining him, Daryl is trying to get this woman, our attorney general, Kathleen Kane, K-A-N-E, impeached for breaching her oath of office. This is across the country, folks, and it's not just Washington, D.C., and it's not just Pennsylvania government. It's your local government. Every day in the paper you see PTA board person steals the money, somebody from a volunteer fire company, somebody from the Girl Scouts. This country has become corrupted. We're not going to solve it with one effort. And those who critiqued Operation American Spring and said, well, even if you do get all these top people to resign, it's like cutting off the head of Hydra. You cut off one head and two others spring up. It's true. We want to get these people to resign, and we want constitutional rules of succession, not secession. We're not splitting apart, but we want the next person in line to move up in an orderly fashion. We like orderly succession of power. And are they the same? Most likely. But there's a difference. If they got their power because they fooled the populace, or they bought an election, or they discouraged people from voting, then they've got a lot of hubris, and they think they can get away with anything. If the only reason that they have an office is because we forced the guy in front of them to step down through the power of our voices and our feet, we kicked them out of office, then those people are going to be minding their P's and Q's. And as I said, they're going to want to get in front of this parade. And we can tolerate that until we can replace them with better people who are out there.
So I will bring it back to you, Colonel, and then I'm going to bring James back into the conversation, and then we have Butch on the line, and we'll be opening up his mic. So go ahead, Colonel, and then over to James, and then Butch will be in next. Go ahead, Colonel.
Yeah, I'll just say one thing with regard to talking about the states. It's You know, you can have, it was mentioned last night on another program I was on, but I think it makes a good analogy. You can have 5,000 prisoners and two guards. You know, and two guards can control 5,000 prisoners. Because a prisoner, they know the first one or the first two or the first three that try anything, they're going to be dead. So basically, you know, you've got two guards controlling 5,000. It's like, you know, a handful of politicians in Washington, D.C. that are controlling 300 and plus million people. Well, you know, and none of the prisoners really are willing to stand up and take the first shot, if you will. Well, I think it's kind of like what OAS is doing is we're the prisoners, we're part of the prisoners, we're representing the prisoners, but we're going to take the first shot. We're going to go forward in a symbolic way to stand up and say we're here and we're challenging the guards. And I'm hoping that state governors across America, you know, if they try to do it individually, they get shot down like Arizona or like Alabama or like some of the Carolinas. You know, they were trying to do things for their people in the case of Arizona because the government wasn't taking care of the immigration thing and they were killing Arizonans. So the governor, they passed a law out there to take care of the people themselves. And the heavy hand of the feds come down on them and found a liberal judge to, or somehow, nullify that. Alabama was trying to do something. Carolina's trying to, you know, strengthen the ballot box with ID cards. And, you know, they get threats from the feds. If the state's governors will get together and realize their power and come up with mechanisms to thwart and to exercise their 10th Amendment rights, then we'll see some changes. It can happen through state governors, but they have to band together, they have to come up with a plan, and they all have to be consistent and take on the feds. Don't allow them to abuse and come down and put the heavy heel of the federal government that has no authority to do it. Stop them.
Go ahead,
James,
Robert.
You have the floor.
Hey, Colonel. I have just a couple of questions about how the event is going to happen. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of people gathering in D.C. Where will be the main rally point for everybody to get started? And after everybody gathers together, will there be like a location with speakers, you know, where people will, you know, like with the sound system set up and speakers and whatnot like that?
We, on our websites, and I'll just mention our main website is OAS2014.com. On OperationAmericanSpring.org and also on our PatriotsForAmerica.ning.com, we have tabs that show target areas and a map of the mall. And we have, I think there's four target areas on there just for coordination points, one at the Lincoln Memorial, vicinity of the Vietnam Memorial, Washington Monument, then a couple more on toward the Capitol. Most of the people, the states and groups, you know, they're selecting their locations beforehand, specifically where their states are going to gather. For individuals who are coming in smaller groups or just individuals, you'll just find us all over the mall. If we get the numbers that we need, that we believe will justify and convince the leadership of what our mission is, then we're going to be spread all over the place. The mall won't hold us. So it'll be probably up around the White House, over around the Capitol, wherever, you know, wherever people can get. But as far as stages and sound systems and all that, as I indicated, we have no budget, and those things cost tens of thousands of dollars to have a stage set up, to have a big sound system. Then if you have to have permits to get that, then there's other things that are required, and we simply can't do that. And not only that, we really don't need stages. We don't need people speaking to tell us who we are, because we know who we are. There will be, as I mentioned earlier, there will be many blog talk radio personalities there reporting on-site live. They will be looking for speakers. We will have our live net, basically, that's going to be run through our website from the telephones, the smartphones. So it will be broadcast out to the nation, and there'll be several of those located throughout the mall and wherever, different people reporting. So everybody will be looking for speakers and we won't be speaking to ourselves. What we'll be doing is we'll be speaking to America. That's where we want to get our message out. We don't want it just retained right there in the mall in Washington, D.C., and we can't count on the mainstream media. If we have 5 million people there, we'd be lucky if the mainstream media would say we had more than 5,000. I can remember when the 9/12 gathering up there, we had somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million people, and I think the mainstream media reported like 3,000 or something. So unless they cut the internet off, we're gonna be able to keep the flow going of daily reporting by the, you know, continually. So no stages and no permits. We don't need a permit for citizens to visit D.C. We can go in there. We're going in there as individual people under the Constitution, our First Amendment, speech and assembly. So, and basically meeting on those four locations and all over the mall.
Well, Greg, okay.
My question. I'll be sure to bring my bullhorn along in case you want to shout anything out to anybody, Colonel.
All right, yeah, well, that'd be a good idea. That'd be a good idea, because we're probably going to have some spontaneous, singing, "God Bless America," maybe the national anthem, you know, things like that. Can't you imagine? You imagine 2 or 3 million people.
Seriously, I don't think
people?
James needs a bullhorn.
Two or 3 million people singing together.
I'm sorry.
Two or 3 million people singing "God Bless America." Or, you know what? 2 to 3 million people singing the "Star Spangled Banner," and every one of us missing that high note—that would break some windows.
Oh, I tell you what, that would break some things, definitely. But I do want to bring Butch in, and after Butch, I want to bring Jane back in to the conversation as well. So, Butch, your mic is live. How are you?
I'm actually kind of grieved this evening, as anybody should be looking at the condition of this country. Colonel Riley, I want to say to you that I very much appreciate your efforts, but I also want to say that you kind of scare me. If you don't understand that, listening to you talk about your lack of understanding of the emergency powers legislation that has presently, and in fact since 9/14/2001, the president operating virtually as a dictator in our country under the Emergency Powers Act. The Emergency Powers Act was first created under Jimmy Carter, and the purpose of that act, September 14th, 1976, was to limit open-ended declarations of national emergency. But something very strange happened. The next year, they declared a national emergency and the Iranian hostage crisis. And I want to ask you, Colonel Riley, do you know that that declaration from 1977, the national declaration of emergency against the Iranians, they're the threat, is still in place today? That it was continued by Barack Obama in November of 2013?
I believe I've heard that reported, yes. And I'll admit, I'm not a student of everything. I'm pretty...
No put-down, sir.
Go ahead, Colonel.
Honestly.
Let him finish, Butch. Go ahead, Colonel.
Okay. All right.
No, I just... I know... I kind of know basic things and common sense things, and... I don't believe it takes a genius to understand what's going on in our nation, that we need something done about it, and we're trying to do something about it. There are plenty of smart people out there that can do the technical things and get whatever it is we need done if we get things started to be turned around, and I'm hoping that we can do that.
Sir, I don't want to back you against the wall. I would love the opportunity to talk to you privately to explain what I've learned through research. I've been at this. I was a friend of Congressman Larry McDonald. I don't know if you know him. I can hardly speak about him even now without tears because he was assassinated. And he was telling us everything that was going to happen. I mean, in the 1970s, he was telling us everything that was going to happen up until now, and all of it has come true.
Which, may I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
You're right. You're right, Butch. Federally, legally, unconstitutionally, tyrants can do with us as they wish. You're absolutely right. And I have to ask you what you're afraid of. Because they can do it anyway.
I'm not afraid.
No, I'm saying they can do it anyway.
Wait a second. I'm going to answer your question. You asked the question. Give me the chance.
Well, I'm not done yet.
Okay.
One more partial fragment of a sentence, which is...
Go ahead, Dan.
The rhetorical question is, what are you afraid of? The actual question is, shall we not stand against them before they actually start filling up those FEMA camps?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let me answer your question. Here's what I'm afraid of. Colonel Riley, you would certainly agree with me. And let me tell you, let me give you a little bit of history. My ancestor is Colonel John Cleveland Robinson, whose statue is at Gettysburg. My family has bled in every war of this nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm the thing that frightens me is battle understanding. When you are facing an opponent as a military man, you have to know your enemy. There are some questions you have to ask. The one is, where are we? Number two is, how did we get there? And until those first two are answered and proven, you can't have the slightest idea how to answer what do we do next. And what we're dealing with right now, we're living in 12 and a half years, and in fact, it's since 1977, actually, in emergency power tyranny, where the presidents have had the power to declare a national emergency and exercise any kind of power that they want. They actually have the power right now to order the Congress not to talk about the Emergency Powers Act legislation or the fact that we're under emergency power. These politicians, they get on like Trey Gowdy, God bless him, you know, he gets on and he says, you know, if he can change this law, can he change that law? And if he can change that law, can he change election law? Well, he can change anything he wants to because he's acting with absolute dictatorial power under the declaration of emergency, of national emergency. We're living in it. We're in the exact same position that the Soviets were in 1920 Russia. The exact same. I mean, he can arrest me without charge, without right of habeas corpus, with indefinite detention. We're all
However, in 1920s Russia, the Soviets managed to convince everyone, the Mensheviks, and they were the Bolsheviks, and the White Russians, everybody else, that they were a reasonable group, and they just wanted to know where all the arms were, and everybody registered their weapons, and then bit by bit they were seized. Provided we do not give up our weapons, provided we continue to organize, provided that we act in peaceful, lawful manners, how are they going to muster the force required to make us their slaves? The answer is quite clear. History is important, but if I am down in a city
Hold on a second, gentlemen. I just want to make this clear because this is there's you know a couple rules here on Bard's logic, and one is we don't talk over each other. I just see that on all these different talk shows, and I just do not like it on those shows, and I don't want to have it here. So let's let someone finish before we do that. So go ahead, Dan, and then and you were addressed also, Colonel. So I'd like to bring you in as well, and then Butch, you know, go ahead after that. But let's not talk over each other, gentlemen. Go ahead, Dan.
Suitably chastised, Robert. Thank you. If I am confronted by a situation, it's great to know where it came from, and it's great to know where I stand, but I have no choice but to act in defense of myself, my property, my family, and not necessarily in that order. If I'm confronted by a crazed man or a rabid animal, understanding is very good. And if you don't have time, and this country does not have the time, Jim DeMint, who I met last April, told me when I asked him why he was stepping down from a safe Senate seat where he had 4 years to go, the second poorest senator in the country, who proves he's honest, and he could get reelected, go right up to retirement. And he said he didn't think the country had 2 years. That was a year ago. All right? You're confronted with danger, you act. And the best way to act is in the most reasonable fashion possible. Reasonable fashion tells us that we do not start assassinating people. We do not start attacking military facilities or any of these other dire doomsday things that I hope never happen, but that you, as the Latin said, Cicero, the orator said, sic vic pacem parabellum, I believe it was Cicero, which means if you want peace, you prepare for war. And one of the things we're doing is mobilizing peaceful people in Washington and all over the country. There are militias and other groups who are coming together, and very, very serious people, not hotheads, who are preparing themselves for any eventuality. There are people who are too ill to do that. They're operating in support roles. There are people who are operating by doing as Jane, who we're going to listen to again in a little while. Jane is taking a very serious, dangerous step, a big step in her life by stepping into politics. It's a nasty game, and she's willing to do that. She's putting herself on the line. There are a lot of ways to do it, and people are stepping up by the millions every single day. So how we got here is important, and educating the people is a good thing. But it's as a word of caution, I would say stick to your guns, do what's right, act in an honorable manner, and don't let them stop you. Damn the torpedoes. Full speed ahead.
And I'm glad you reminded me of something, Dan. I do want the colonel to respond, but I do want to bring Jane in because I did say that I want to bring her in. And hopefully we'll be able to continue this part of the conversation later. But I do want to be able to bring her in because I said I would. But first, folks, I see there's about 6 minutes of the live time, and we will be going into the extended version of the show. So if you'd like to listen in or chime in, you'll need to do that within the next 6 minutes, or else, unfortunately, you'll be cut off from listening to it. But, of course, you will be welcome and encouraged to listen to the archive to the show, as well as share the link with everyone to the show as well. And, of course, I'll bring this up, is if you are a Twitter user listening to the show or live or the archives, just put in listening to Bard's Logic, copy and paste in the link with the hashtag PJNet. And you can call us here at 347-945-7428. And if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial or send me a message on Facebook. And so we'll bring it over to you after folks call in 347-945-7428. We're going to bring it to you, Colonel, and then, as I said, I do want to bring Jane in, and thank you, Dan, for reminding me that I want to bring her in. So go ahead, Colonel, respond, and then Jane, we'll bring the mic to you. Go ahead.
My comment is just short because I think what the discussion has been about, you know, the last discussion is simply constitutional restoration, that we're away from it, that there are things going on that shouldn't be going on, and we've got to somehow get back to leadership that understands the Constitution and is willing to take these intolerable conditions and repeal them or whatever it is that needs to be done so that we can once again get under a lawful government.
Well, there you go, folks. And thank you, Colonel. And then, Jane, as we said, I want to bring you back in. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just thinking about listening to the Colonel, and one of the things that seems to resonate with a lot of the people that I've been hanging with is that God is really directing a lot of people. And I think what's wonderful about tonight and being able to talk with everybody tonight is just that the knowing that there's so many out there that are taking their path of where God's leading them, and it's overwhelming to know that there's so many people out there and they're stepping out in faith.
You're absolutely on point. I think when OAS when we got started, and all of a sudden, you know, it appeared to me that that it wasn't something that anybody, any person was creating this swell, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We immediately put together a prayer warriors group on our website, and there's about 200 people that are on it, men and women, and they're praying 24 hours a day. They even have a schedule. So we're all lifting not this effort up, but in a unselfish manner, in just a manner that basically that God will again honor our nation, will keep us on an honorable path that we're on. Let it be noble, and let it be for our nation that He created, and for those rights that He created, and no one else can take away from us. It's His gift to America through the Declaration of Independence and through our government, and we're beholden to the Lord to help us, keep us on the track.
Right. But it's hard to, I liked what somebody said about putting feet to the prayer, and it's not easy to take that first step. I know I announced January 1, and in that morning that I announced, I had first spent my hours in prayer, and then contacted 10 people to make sure that I was lifted in prayer as I stepped out on this. And I think prayer has carried me through to where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
But
You know, Jane, when I was talking about prayers having to have feet, the quoting that wonderful lady that I met when I was so young and really, really needed the guidance, the way that people step forward is different for every person. For some people, it could be a religious experience, and for others, it doesn't have to be at all. It could be political or social. An example I like to use of contributing, my wife is not a political person. It's not that she's unaware, but I do more than enough of that, and she tries to maintain a politics-free household just so that we don't all go insane here, because I'm obsessed with it, I admit it. And she's a wonderful cook. It's just something she loves to do. It's not because we have a, you know, strict male-female traditional roles. It just worked out that way that I fix the vehicles and the roof and stuff. And she just really, she's a great cook. And when she bakes, there's nobody I've ever met, no shop I've ever been in that's better. And when we have local events, something that's close, she'll make chocolate chip cookies. Doesn't sound like much. But you've been to these events, Jane, especially the political ones. After an hour, your feet are killing you, or you're behind if you're sitting down, and 2 hours into it, your ears are bleeding. You can't take another minute of this. But if you had one of her cookies, you're going to remember you had a pretty good experience. If you had two, boy, you can't wait to go back. And that's just an example. It's kind of a funny story, but it's true. Every one of you out there listening has something to offer. Even if you do nothing more than attend May 16th or any one of the days following. I just read James Neighbors noted that the Rolling Thunder is going to be there during the second week of OAS, and that's an awful lot of loud Harleys. And that's the second week, and there's going to be a third week. If you can show up for a day, for 2 days, for a week, if you can't make D.C., if you happen to be in Alaska and you don't have the money to travel, I'm sure there's going to be events there in support for this very same constitutional principles, the constitution of the state of Alaska and the country, the United States of America, same as we have here in Pennsylvania. I won't be at Operation American Spring the whole time. I have a job, unfortunately. I really got to pay my bills. But I'm coming back the 19th, which is the Monday following the very beginning of Operation Spring. We're having a rally that I'm co-sponsoring in Harrisburg, the state capital of Pennsylvania, on the steps of the state capitol, with the very, very same intent. Independence Day 2 is what we're calling it. It's just an offshoot. It's not the official American Spring at all. But the logo that my partner, John Storm, put up there says, it is a picture of a little girl. She's poor, and she's behind barbed wire, and there's burnout houses in back of her, and she says, "Why didn't you do anything? Why did you let this happen?" And we can't let that happen. Oh, by the way, just a shameless plug and promo. Those of you who are familiar with Chief Mark Kessler of Internet fame, he's the fellow who is a police chief, a very good one, who was firing full automatic weapons and cursing a bit, as we do not do on this show, on YouTube, at pictures of Nancy Pelosi and cursing out the Constitution, the ones who go against the Constitution. He's going to be our lead speaker. And I want people to know that he's not just a guy who curses on YouTube and fires guns. In Gilberton, Pennsylvania, which is just a few miles down the road from where I live, it's here in the Anthracite region of Pennsylvania, 2 years before all that, he got an ordinance passed in their borough, and this is very local, that said that any unconstitutional laws have no effect in their borough, that they will not support them, they will not permit them to be carried out by any agency of the state or the federal government, and that anyone who comes and tries to do anything that is unconstitutional there will be arrested. Now, that may not seem like much, a little borough of Gilberton. You know, I'm in a little tiny village. It's literally a village in Brockton. Every single place, every single person in this country can step forward and do something. And the vast weight of our wishes, our prayers, our feet moving in that direction are more than enough to carry the day. If you show up in D.C. and do nothing more than have a picnic lunch and carry a sign and wear some red, white, and blue and meet with some fellow patriots, and there's a million of you every single day, you've done your part, and you'll go home enthused to do even more.
Yep. Yeah. That's a good point.
Go ahead, Colonel, and then I have some more folks who'd like to chime in, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to have to depart here most quickly.
And I appreciate you staying on as long as you did. We really do.
Yeah. I just do want to say that I've surely appreciated the opportunity tonight, and encourage our nation, encourage our patriots out there, everyone to consider to evaluate in their own heart and their own mind as to what's going on in our nation, and just think about it, and just picture what's happened over the last just the last 5 or 6 years, the last 10 years. 20 years ago, I would never have dreamed, never would I have ever dreamed we'd be in a condition like we're in right now in our nation, the nation of freedom and capitalism, and you know, just going totally into the abyss. We just pray that we'll have millions there that will come and lock arms and stand shoulder to shoulder with us and make a presence. As was just said, just be there. You've done your job. Just be there. We can tell our children we were there. We stood up. We made our demands known. I think if our citizens and our patriots, you know, if we fail to understand the grave threat that is to our nation, fail to join by the millions in D.C. Just beginning in May, and as said, beyond, for as long as we can undergo the sacrifice, if we don't do that, it'll signal surrender, and Barack Obama, I believe, won't hesitate to ask to just start his you know, his downward spiral toward socialism and communism in a dramatic fashion. So we can't leave this type of thing to our children, our grandchildren, or great grandchildren. We've got to stand up. We can't raise the white flag. There's been just too much blood for this nation that we have, that has been shed, and we can't allow somebody we don't even know for sure lead us to anywhere else. And to see our government reduced to a bunch of you know, people that are only interested in their own self-serving agendas. So we've got a little over 2 weeks before we're going to meet up there. The final surge has already begun. We're still in the mobilization phase, so everybody has an opportunity to write letters to the editor, to call their friends, to, you know, invite them to our websites, OES2014.com. Everything, they can go there and find petitions to sign that go right to their congressmen, their senators. So thank you, gentlemen, very much. Ladies, Jane, God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
God bless you.
Appreciate it, all
thank
of you.
Thank you, Colonel. We appreciate it. And I'll be in contact with Deb, and if any of there's a couple more shows, Block Talk Radio Show folks that I spoke with would be interested in having you on, and we'll talk with them as well. So you take care, and good luck, and hope to see you in D.C. on May 16th.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. Bye.
God bless you.
Take care. Good night. Well, folks, we do have a couple more callers who'd like to chime in. I see a couple area codes 1386, and that must be our panelist, Cindy Todd. And then we also have someone on with 360, and we see other callers who are just listening in, but if they'd like to chime in, just push 1 on your number dial. So we will bring in Cindy, and then we'll bring in our other caller on area code 360. So, Cindy, thank you very much for calling to the show. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I guess I should have called in earlier because I had some questions for the guest. But,
sorry.
It's okay. First of all, though, is Kelly still on?
Let me open him. He was on. He didn't push the 1 on his number dial, but I think he wants to come in. But there he is. He's on.
Okay. Well, hi, Kelly. First of all, I've been meaning to read your book, The Hidden Fourth Branch, but I keep forgetting to ask you how I can get a copy. Is that in a bookstore, or where do you, how do I get
it? It's on Amazon.
Amazon? Okay.
Yeah, just type in Hidden Forest Ranch on Amazon.
Okay.
I own an autograph copy. What are you talking about now? Go ahead, Cindy.
Send it on, Kelly. Okay. Well, thank you anyways. I'll be getting one. You know, he had said he's hoping, you know, I'm thinking all the time he's talking, what results is he expecting, you know? And he said something like he wanted to see 300 politicians come down there and mingle with the crowd and speak and, you know, stuff like that and get on the blog talks and all that. And I kind of wanted to know what besides that he wants to come out of this, whether he wants, I just didn't get the gist of it other than just you're up there saying, I'm with those guys, you know, and this is how many of us there are, so you better start listening. I guess that was the general gist. But anyway, I wanted to also mention this because he touched on this a little bit earlier, and I wanted to expound on it, the fact that none of our presidents has been in control of what he's doing. They do not make their own decisions. And we were talking about the New World Order, and I've said this before on this show, and I'm going to say it again. Back in 1979, Pat Robertson wrote a book called The New World Order. And this was shortly after, I don't know if Judson, something like that, was on a little while ago, talking about the National Defense Act or the Emergency Defense Act or whatever. He was saying that that happened somewhere around 77 or 79, and it seems like a lot of stuff happened right around there that I wanted to bring out, and it is important. But when Pat Robertson laid out this whole thing back in 1979, everybody made fun of him and, oh, he's just one of them right-wing, crazy Christian people. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. But as I'm reading over it again, which I've spent a lot of time, I had a lot of it highlighted and I've been reading it, he was dead on. He was dead on back then, and most of the book is still viable today as exactly what happens. And I wanted to bring out particularly his take on Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter is the one guy who probably did the most to allow all that stuff to happen. And the thing is, Pat Robertson believes that Jimmy Carter thought he was doing the right thing. And I think Jimmy Carter still thinks he was doing the right thing just by listening to him talk, but it was the wrong thing. And he gave this story about after the general election in November, he actually spoke to Carter during a three-way telephone conversation with a guy called a pro-family activist called Lou Sheldon, if anybody's remembering him. I remember him. Anyway, they suggested to the governor, the president-elect Carter, that since he was a strong evangelical, he might want to include some evangelical Christians in his appointments to the cabinet. And he thought, okay, that's great. Yeah, send me a list, right? So they worked. Lou Sheldon and Pat Robertson worked night and day for a long time and came up with a whole list, a roster of names with absolutely impeccable resumes. All of them were Democrats. All of them were distinguished in either government, business, or education, and they were a real rainbow coalition. There was all nationalities on this list. They got a they got an appointment to see Carter, and they went to see him, and Sheldon proudly presents the booklet. Carter reads it, and he begins to cry. And when they got back to Virginia Beach, Sheldon says to Jimmy, Pat Robertson, Jimmy was so touched by all the work we did that tears came to his eyes. And Pat Robertson said to him, Lou, you're wrong. The reason he cried is because the appointment process is totally out of his hands, and he's not going to appoint any of those people. And it happened that not one of those Christian men of great qualification was chosen as a Jimmy Carter appointment. And so that's why, and Carter knew then. There's also another book that Pat Robertson wrote, and in that book he tells the story about how he actually went to see Carter in his front yard. And he said something like, you know, I'm so glad that a Christian's going to be in the White House. Now we can get some things done, you know, with the Christian agenda and all that, and we can, you know, bring our nation back to God and blah, blah, blah. And Jimmy Carter cried again at that point, standing on his front lawn. He said, I can't do anything. They tell me what to do. So, and if you look at all the, you know, Democrat presidents who have come after that, you can see that they're not making any of the. Obama is, even though they have said, oh, he's so smart, he's so accomplished, he's stupid. They have him in there because he's stupid. They had Carter in there because he was stupid and he could follow directions. If you can follow orders, you get to get in the presidency. Bill Clinton was just a stupid man willing to follow orders. And the only reason we got anything done under Clinton was because of Newt Gingrich, who took the opportunity while Clinton was being excoriated over his sexual affairs and his business affairs and all of that. He took advantage of all that, and Gingrich got some things done during his administration. And I'm sure that that just irked the One World Order people to no end. That's the reason the leadership of the Republican Party turned against him, because they're in the New World Order bunch. They're all part of the drive for the One World oligarchy to be in control. And
Cindy, can I ask you just one thing, though? I can completely concur that the people who are in power are acting in concert, and that there are powers behind them who are helping coordinate and direct them. I mean, if you look at the media, for instance, George Soros, it's proven there's no conspiracy theories here. It's a real conspiracy. He controls several hundred media organizations and has placed his people and his agenda in pretty much all of the mainstream media newsrooms and editorial boards. And the mainstream media has an incestuous relationship with the White House and with Congress, specifically the Senate. There are numerous people who have moved from one job to another. The editor of Newsweek has just signed on as a press spokesman, and it goes back and forth. And many of them have brothers and sisters and wives and daughters and sons who are working in.
Where'd you go?
Oh, no, Dan dropped.
Oh, dear. Dan? Hello,
yeah,
Dan?
No, his unfortunately, his line has dropped.
He probably pushed something with his chin. That happens to me.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what he was getting at, but I was going to make the point that it's probably mostly the bankers. It's big, huge banks that are in charge, really, behind all these politicians. And one of the proofs of that was that, Panama, the Panama Canal was given away in the Carter administration. And basically, the Panamanian people owed $1.7 billion to U.S. banks, Chase Manhattan, Marine Midland Bank, First National Bank of Chicago, Bank of America, Bankers Trust. Between all of those banks, they owed $1.7 billion. And appointee for Carter was, you'll recall, Paul Volcker, a former employee of Rockefeller's Chase Manhattan Bank. He was appointed as chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. Okay, when you add all of this together, you can see that the reason that we gave Panama back was so that now they could take all the money, the fees, the canal fees that the ships pay to go through. They now are going to go to the banks that they owed money to, but they couldn't pay it. You understand? So this is what's been going on behind the scenes for years and years. And people like Pat Robertson and other people have researched this, and they know it's happening, and they're writing about it, and everybody is just still sleeping. It's like a bunch of babies in cradles, and nobody wants to wake up and see what's going on. Brzezinski is who brought Carter into the Trilateral Commission, and he did it the same way that what's-his-name brought Obama in to all of this stuff. They find some young guy that they think has promise, that they think will appeal to a large amount of people or a particular demographic, and they say, we can make this guy into a president. And they do. So the only thing that's going to save us is if we get the information out and people will wake up. And then we have to have honest voting. If we can't get the corruption out of our voting boxes, then we don't have a way to fight this. It won't matter if the whole nation walks up to Washington and, you know, whatever we want to do there. That's when it becomes an issue for the militias. And I wonder if Dan has tried to call back in. Robert? Are you there, Robert? Robert?
I'm here. I was just trying to bring Dan in, but somebody they got a wrong call. So keep on going, folks, and I'm going to try to bring Dan in, okay?
So I was.
Thank you.
I was with you guys. Robert, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. I'm trying to bring Dan back in on a three-way. How sometimes we do with you guys.
Okay, I just didn't know if I was talking to myself again, like Dan probably was.
No, you're here, and I got Kelly on the line as well. So, Kelly, you still there?
Yeah, still here. I'm putting my son to bed. I'll be on in about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you two go ahead. I'm trying to bring Dan back on, but I'm having a little difficulty with it, so bear with me.
Anyway, the Carter administration, like Justin, whatever his name was saying, is one of the key administrations where they got a whole lot of work done. And then, of course, they tried to get a whole lot done under Clinton. Newt Gingrich stopped him. And then it was not until they got Obama in there that they were able to make another huge gain in their plan. And the only thing that will stop that is either if somebody like a Newt Gingrich or Newt Gingrich himself can get control of the House again,
or if we can impeach Obama. I forgot the other thing I was going to say. Anyway, we're in a rough spot. And there's a lot of work to do in order to get us out of here. A lot of work to do. Well, Robert, did you get Dan yet?
No, I must have misdialed, and now it's not disconnecting the bad number that I try to get a hold of. But my concern is if I do something certain, it might disconnect everybody, and that's my big concern. But while I'm still trying this, let me go ahead and bring Virginia on the line. Thank you very much, Virginia, for calling to the show. How are you? And I do see someone on
Skype.
I'm
doing.
If you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial, and it'll let me know that you want to come in, or I'll come in to this call screen and ask you in a little bit. So go ahead, Virginia.
Well, thank you very much. I'm from Stanwood, Washington, and I've been a patriot on Facebook, a keyboard warrior, disseminating massive information to massive amounts of people the past 5 years, especially the past 4 years. I've got about 8,000 patriot friends, and I'm one of the leaders on Facebook among some of my other excellent, good friends. You know, we're really very united, and we're very close, and we communicate a lot, and I've got about 500 patriot groups I belong to, and I've formed about 8 of them, and I admin about 10 of them. And so anyway, I'm actively involved. And this is the message that I want to send out to everybody. The bottom line is we're talking about probably 0.5% of the people that are controlling this nation. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about 6 different banks. We're talking about some top bankers in those banks. We're talking about the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. We're talking about George Soros. He should be extradited and put him in Hungary and let him hang him. You know, there's very few people that are controlling this country and actually controlling this world. And there is no reason that we should sit here frightened or anything else. I sit and speak out daily. I use my First Amendment rights to the hilt. I figure if I do that, maybe we won't have to be forced to use our Second Amendment rights. And the bottom line is there's many more of us, and they are scared to death of us. And we just need to rise up with the light of Jesus Christ and the light of God, and we need to just take this country by storm the same way we did in 1979 with Ronald Reagan. It didn't take money. It doesn't take the bankers. It doesn't take stock markets. It doesn't take big corporations. It takes the people rising up with the light of Jesus Christ and God Almighty, the God of Abraham, rising up and being willing and ready to fight and getting out there and doing what we need to do to be able to take this nation back. There is no reason that we shouldn't take this nation back by the end of this year, period. I feel very strongly about it. There is no reason that we should be afraid of anything. And I get out there and shout and scream and yell and shout hallelujah all day long to people, and I take the trolls and snuff them out. You know, the way
you
I
go
see
to the
it
overpasses?
I don't do that. I'm a keyboard warrior. That is what I do. I am a communicator. And so I take my abilities and my talents, and I use them to the fullest. And I have done it for 4 years, and I have been on Facebook, and I'm one of the leaders along with several other people, and we are in communication, and we're doing our best to set up a website that will be absolutely huge, just like Facebook, where we can tell fascist book to go stick it, you know, because they just cause us so much grief. I mean, I wish I had 50 million friends. I would go out daily and make friends. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of making friends. I'm not afraid of telling somebody to go to hell. You know, I'm not afraid of snuffing them out and blocking them and, you know, giving them a ream them in a new, you know, what before I do so. You know, I mean, we just have to rise up and use our First Amendment rights and quit being so scared. There's a very few people that are controlling those 6 banks, and George Soros is a son of a bitch. We ought to throw him the hell out of this country.
Hold on a second. Let's watch our language on the show.
Son of a gun.
The family show.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Apologize. Okay, let me take that. He's a son of a gun, you know, and we need to kick him out of this country, and we need to extradite him to Hungary. He's the one who's causing the problem with our voting system. He is deeply involved in affecting everything in the voting system, you know, and Through the Votes doing a wonderful job. God bless them, you know, but George Soros is in there. He, you know, Michael Savage in 4 of 12, you know, April of 2012, warned everybody. He's got the, you know, Spanish-owned company. He's going to be, you know, rigging the vote and everything. He's going to have his voting machines here, and we're going to have trouble. Well, nobody listened to Mike Savage. Mike Savage was right. I formed a Facebook group. I had over 2,000 people in the group, and I had about 5 administrators. And we followed the election for about 16 weeks. We didn't miss a thing. And basically what happened in the 2012 election was there were 9 key states where they placed those STYCL, is what they were called, voting machines that were basically manufactured, the software and the hardware, by a Spanish company owned and controlled by George Soros. And they defaulted to Obama. In 59 cases, he got 99 to 100% of the vote. And that is statistically impossible to really even happen once. Maybe it could have happened once, but it could have never happened 59 times. There were over 200 counties where there were more votes that occurred in the counties than there were registered voters. There is so much voting fraud. There is so much voter fraud that until we get control of our elections and get George Soros the heck out of this country, we still are going to have problems. The 2012 election, if it was a fair election, as far as I'm concerned, based on everything we observed and we watched and we, you know, completely followed that election, Mitt Romney would have won hands down. I mean, he went to Ohio and he had 50,000 people show up. You know, Obama went to some stupid little high school stadium and had 3,800 people show up in Ohio, but yet somehow he won Ohio. Yeah, right. You know, they rigged the election in 9 key states, and that's the reason that he got the 275 electoral votes from those 9 key states that they rigged. And the union, the unions go in and they control those voting machines. They've got contracts with the union, and they go in and take them out, and then they control everything on those voting machines. Yeah, right, like we're going to give them to the FBI, you know, and have a big investigation. Give me a break. Wake up, people. Quit being so nice. You know, some of the Christians in the Bible, our founders, weren't the nicest people. They were warriors, and they're ready to fight. And I am ready to fight. I am ready to take these people on, and there's not very many of them. So rise up and do it, you know, and quit being afraid.
Wow. Kelly here.
Hey there,
Kelly.
Go ahead.
And
yeah.
I'm sorry if I sound angry, but I am spiritually angry.
Oh,
I'm angry like Jesus Christ was when he went in and threw the tables over in the temple.
What'd
you
say?
He snorted like a horse. That's how angry I am.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's okay, Virginia, to be angry.
Thank you. I'm spiritually angry.
Well,
I'm not personally.
Yeah.
I'm spiritually angry.
Well, first of all, I want to give an example of how to swear on Barge Logic program.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, here we go. George Soros, that son of a beep, beep, and then
yeah.
that, he, that, all that, son of a beep,
thank you.
And then this, that,
block it
swear
out.
Word, swear word, beep. All right. Anyway.
Gotcha. And don't worry. Won't do that again. I apologize.
Yeah, my producer, you know, I have a 7-second delay.
I don't want to get
producer.
You in trouble.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So anyway, well, yeah, the,
gun.
I have to make jokes about
yeah.
our political mess. Otherwise, I would go crazy.
Oh,
you
know,
I
know. Believe me, I understand.
Yeah. So, but I was. See, you're kind of sounding like Pat Robertson sounded years ago when he wrote the New World Order. When you're going off about the voting machines, that's just kind of interesting.
We tracked it. Believe me, we saw
yeah.
it all.
Are you a member of Watch the Vote?
Watch the Vote? No.
Yeah, Watch the Vote 2012. Jim Condon, did you hear? He knows Beverly. I want to say Beverly Clapp. What's Beverly's name? On, oh gosh, there's True the Vote. There's so many of these organizations. Black Box Voting, Bev Harris.
Yes, I've been on
yeah.
that. Yeah, Black Box.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so
and True
Jim
the
Condon,
Vote, not Watch the Vote. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had in our group, we kind of roped him into our group rather quickly. Edward True. He went to his Iowa caucus in Appanoose,
County, Iowa. And he wrote on just a little piece of paper that Romney got two votes. And then it was reported at the state level in his caucus, Romney got 22.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon, you know, we're talking with him, we're encouraging him. He gets on CNN, starts screaming. And it was so close with Rick Santorum and the Romulan that we knew ahead of time, because of the 20 vote difference, we knew ahead of time that Rick Santorum actually won Iowa. His pressure caused the first time in American history, in a primary or caucus, that a party reversed the winner. And then we started tracking what was going on. For example, Francois Choquette, he's a number cruncher, awesome guy, Southern Cal engineer, and others came out with vote flipping electronically. And it looks to me that Ron Paul won New Hampshire. He actually got
mm-hmm.
second, not third, in South Carolina. Santorum
yeah.
won Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just like point-blank spooky. You can't get at the computer code to investigate, even if you could. It would take years
right.
to go through the 10,000
right.
lines of code. The Supreme Court has
exactly.
ruled, oh, can't look at the code. That's intellectual property. That's covered under copyright and patent.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So we,
like they
we
know how to read the Constitution. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, Kelly Z. Mordecai is my name here, and I'm sorry I was putting my son to bed. I didn't catch yours. But friend me on Facebook, because what we did in the primaries in 2012, a bunch of us, we submitted petitions to grand juries. We were asking the grand jury to walk into the election clerk's office the day after the election, grab ballots, start counting. And statistically, you only have to do like 30% to get like an 80% confidence interval. So it's really easy. And we had a number of places do this. One of the problems was it's near the year. It's the grand jury ends in June. The primary was, oh, that's right, in June. And they were busy writing their annual report, so they really didn't take the matter up. It was very frustrating. But there are things we can do. Of course, you can sue, but that'll take you, like 5 years. Oh, they're in and out of office. You're like that bond measure in Tucson, Arizona, where the Libertarians sued. They kept having a victory and victory and subpoena, and then they went from paper. It's a joke, this bond measure. Nobody voted for it, but somehow it got approved. But by the time they're going to get done in court, get all the forensic evidence, all the money will be spent. And the court system
mm-hmm.
failed us, that's what I'm saying. And friend me on Facebook, because we've got a lot of connections too, and it is stunning how far-left liberals will hook up with constitutional conservatives and get this worked on. I mean, Bev Harris, she was responsible. I think it was 2008 or 10. There was like 3 or 4 million votes that had to be counted by hand because she
mm-hmm.
she got to the Secretary
mm-hmm.
of State, Kevin Shelley, and basically
mm-hmm.
they had to bold your machines are junk. Okay, you're junk.
Mm-hmm.
He told the Attorney General of California, prosecute these people. And they settled for an out-of-court settlement of money. Really?
Yeah, really.
And,
exactly.
Yeah, so, yeah, that this is a serious problem.
It's a
when I show people
problem.
These graphs, yeah, when I show the people these graphs,
mm-hmm.
oh, my gosh, they're just like, is this in the paradigm shift on their face? Even the county election clerk here in my county, when I started explaining this to her, she had this look on her face like, you mean all the hard work and honesty and integrity, and she is,
mm-hmm.
all this work these years and always winning the elections, always being open. She let me just come in election day and go through the whole process. All the work I've ever done, it means for nothing when they can flip the...
Oh, yeah. When you're dealing with them, when you're dealing with attorneys and judges and prosecutors and they're all corrupt, you know, they're a bunch of Democrats and they're corrupt, you know. What do you expect from these people? They're evil. You know? And so we need to fight harder. We need to rise up like warriors and fight like our founders fought. They weren't little, you know, pussy ant, push them aside. You know? I mean, my feeling is this. They either give us a fair election and not do a, you know, Alan West on us or a Barack Obama on us like they did in 2012, or I'm ready to rise up and fight. I am finished with this. I am done with this. Our founders would have killed these people by now. And I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating peace. I'm advocating, like we did with the Bundy Ranch, that we do everything we can in peace. But they fired the first shot. We're firing the rest.
Well, here's the deal. The powers that be, this is my belief anyway, the powers that be want gunshots going off so the president will do martial law immediately. We have to be extremely careful.
Yeah, the non-president, the illegal president, the usurper
president. Well, we have to be extremely careful.
Real quick,
yeah, I agree.
We only got about 10 minutes, actually, maybe a little bit more of the extended version of the show. And one of the things I wanted to do, actually, a little over an hour ago, was to get a word from our sponsor about, of course, May 11th is Mother's Day. So for all the men and women out there listening, At the show, visit our sponsor for some great ideas for your mother or that special someone for Mother's Day. And so let's take a minute to hear some words from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Julie Stevenson, an independent representative with Sopata Designs. Sopata is a direct selling company which offers fine sterling silver and semi-precious gemstone jewelry. If you like sterling silver jewelry, you can place an order with me. If you love sterling silver jewelry, book a home show and get the pieces you love for free. Sopata hostesses earn an average of $300 in free jewelry and 3 half-priced items. If you love our jewelry, do what I did and become a Sopata rep and earn 30% commission as well as free jewelry monthly. It's so simple. The style of our home parties is always an open house with no formal presentation. You can access my website on Bard's Logic. Then call me to start living the life you deserve, 513-378-8876. I can't wait to hear from you.
And, folks, you can order that to be shipped from her website. You don't have to necessarily be living in the 513 area code, so you can just order the items from her website. So don't forget to visit the sponsor page on BardsLogicPoliticalTalk.com to get a gift for that special someone. So let's get back to the show. I want to got a message from Dan, and he says he apologizes for the technical difficulties, and, of course, he will be back on for our show next week. And, Cindy, I'd like to be able to talk with you off the air, not tonight, but hopefully the next day or so, because I do want to start seeing if we can, I don't know if there's how much time is left, but we can start getting some shows for Matt Bevin. I would like to do a couple money bombs if we can to try to help him out. So let's talk about that. But I know that the time's kind of moving down with him. I know our primary here is on May the 6th, which is actually coming up, you know, pretty quickly. We've only been 5 days. I think Kentucky's in which he is in, I believe that is May 20th, but I want to double-check on that. And, of course, it could get as much help as we can, so I'd like to talk about that, about certain some of that. And, of course, I also like to, for those of you who are Newt Gingrich fans and supporters and would like to see him run again in 2016, one thing I tried some months ago and would like to be able to bring back again, I found some resources where I may be able to do this, at least information resources, to have what I was calling Newt News Fridays. So I'm hoping to be able to bring that back in the not-too-distant future. But let's get back to the show. As I said, well, unfortunately, what we'll probably have to do is get some last parting comments for the last 7 to 10 minutes here, and then I'll have to unfortunately close out the show for tonight. It was great. I want to thank everyone who participated tonight, and we are working on for some guests for next week, possibly from the Libertarian Party coming on, running for office. We are the grassroots. We the people show, and we do like to give the grassroots of other parties on the show, such as the Libertarian, Constitution, and Green parties onto the show. About 3 weeks ago, we had somebody from the Green Party who actually some of his stances would surprise some folks, especially when it comes to the Constitution and how he actually is more conservative when it comes to that than you would think. So check it out. And I believe that was Mr. Paul Glover who from the Green Party running for governor of Pennsylvania. So check that out. So let's go ahead and have some closing comments, and what we'll do is we'll bring it to you, Virginia, and then we'll bring it to Cindy with some closing comments for you, and then for you, Kelly, and then unfortunately I'll have to close things up myself. So I think we got enough time for each person to have about, let's see, 3 minutes, and then I'll have to close things out. So go ahead, Virginia.
Well, thank you. The way I see it is that American Spring has sprung. It really did spring and sprung on the Bundy Ranch and what happened there, where we really drew a red line, and it was a legitimate red line. You know, we can't have these federal government bureaucrats, you know, armed. This is totally unconstitutional. There are so many things that are going on in this nation right now with the judges, with the prosecutors, with the attorneys, you know, with these bureaucrats and with the D.C. and the White House and Congress that are just so unconstitutional. We know how to read. Everybody needs to read the Constitution, study it, understand it, learn about our history, and rise up and demand. We, the people, are the fourth branch of government, and we are the most powerful branch of government. And we need to rise up. American Spring has sprung, and we need to all participate in it until we can evict these traitors in Washington, D.C. that have sold their souls and their everything, you know, that they are to all these corporations that are funding them, you know, that are lobbying and paying. You know, it's just become a big money changer situation, just like when Jesus Christ went into the temple and threw the tables over and snorted like a horse. That's the situation where we are right now. We, the people, need to rise up. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to get the strength that we have within ourselves, and we need to be the light of the world and rise up and throw these money changers out. There's not very many of them. There's really not that many of them, and there are so many more of us. And we just need to quit being afraid and do it. And it's already begun. And so I probably am not going to be able to make it to Washington, D.C., but I'm going to be on my computer 24/7 practically supporting all the efforts, just like I was with the Bundy Ranch, and coordinating and working with different people. There's a group of us. We work online, and we work consistently, and we are going to be a major support system. I will be in the journalistic reporting part of it, keeping everybody informed and sharing information, keyboard warrior as I am. If I can make it, I certainly will, and I would love to. But all of us need to stand vigil wherever we are in this nation. We need to stand vigil and stay there until we have evicted these criminals, period. And that's all I've got to say.
In Virginia, real quick, before we bring Cindy on, are you familiar with the Patriot Journalist Network?
No, I'm not.
Do you Twitter a lot, or is it mainly just Facebook?
I really don't. I really work mainly out of Facebook. I work on Facebook. I've got 8,000 friends and belong to about 600 Patriot groups.
Okay,
but I would love
to.
I'll write that down.
To be able to correspond. Yeah, I'd definitely like to correspond with you more. So if you go to the BardsLogicPoliticalTalk.com website, and there is a contact page, and if you could send me a message through there, it'll send me an email. So if you can send me a message through the contact page, I'd definitely like to keep in touch with you. And thank you very much for calling to the show. And, of course, you're welcome to call back later on subsequent shows and be a part of our roundtable discussion. And so with that, you can keep your mic on as well. Listen to the rest of the show, and so we'll bring it to you, Cindy. As she unmutes herself.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm unmuted. Got to give me a little bit better heads up. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to just say, I forgot what I wanted to say. Anyway, I was going to say one last thing to Virginia, but now I can't remember what it was.
Well, we could bring it to Kelly and then have you come back if you like.
Well, now that she's not anymore, it was something that she said I wanted to relate to. But anyway, the whole thing about the oligarchy, you know, behind all of this that is trying to, the amount of money that is at stake here is unbelievable. It's unfathomable to us. And it has a lot to do with our national debt. because that will all be paid back to those banks one way or the other. and what it takes to accomplish this, they are successfully doing just like the communists do when they take over. And basically it's the same thing. You know, a communist nation is run by a small oligarchy of very wealthy, very rich men. I don't know if it's still true, but just a few years ago, a Chinese man was the richest man in the world. So that tells you that communist nations aren't necessarily for the population. They are for a certain group. You dumb down the population first in their education system. You reduce the population by abortion, by allowing GMO foods, by chemtrails. I posted the other day that cancer conspiracy thing. Our FDA is killing us with drugs. They're reducing the population. This is all what it's about. You control the voting. You must control the voting. And so that's what that's all about. and you get, as Judson or Justin, whatever his name was, talked about, you get a National Defense Act where, you know, the president can just declare martial law and everything is under his control. You build FEMA camps, you get ready for it, and that's what happens. But anyway, that's a shame.
Well,
Judson
was talking about. Mm-hmm.
Judson, okay. That is his name, Judson.
Judson.
Right. Anyway, too bad we didn't get Dan back on.
Yeah, I apologize for it. And I tried to, but I'll be honest. I accidentally misdialed and put in the wrong area code. And it wouldn't let me get rid of the other third call. So that was a mistake on my part. So I apologize to Dan for that. But, Kelly, we want to bring it over to you before I close out the show for this evening.
Okay, well, thank you. I really want to take the advice of Colonel Riley of praying for our country. And if you don't mind, Robert, I just want to do a quick prayer for our country.
Certainly, go ahead.
I love that idea. Great.
Okay, me too.
All right, well, here we go. Father God, please help us. We're in a dire strait with this country. Things are only getting worse. We need your wisdom. We need your grace. We need connections with many others who will stand up for justice. And your word makes it very clear to stand up for the rights of the oppressed. God, how you command us to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. And we just beg for your help here in doing what is good for not just our own lives, but our children. So we just ask for your help. And I don't know what else to say, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good job,
Kelly. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, there you go, Kelly, and I appreciate everyone for coming on to the show. And we look forward to seeing everyone next Wednesday.
Hey, Robert.
Robert.
Yeah. I actually remembered what I was going to tell Virginia. Can I say it real quick? It's something quick.
Yeah, certainly. Go ahead.
Virginia, you're doing a great job on the computer. Keep it up. But what James is doing with overpasses gives us great – it gives us thousands of cars a day see us, and it's not just the people who get politically active and they're on their computer looking around for politics. This is people that never talk about politics with anybody, and they're driving under the underpass, and they're going, okay, what the heck is that? And then they may look on his website, you know, and then they do get involved. So I like how it gets people drawn into the political argument or drawn into the political debate without actually you know, they don't have to do anything. It's right there in front of them. It's very visible, and I think it's been very successful because of that. So anyway, I hope you'll get involved with it because it really
well,
is
thank
cool.
you.
Keep
yeah,
doing what
it would
you're
be
doing,
awesome.
Though. I mean,
oh,
don't,
I'm.
Don't
believe me, I get out there and slug away 24/7. But no, I would love to do that. It would be physically good for me to get up and go out and do that and electrify the masses. So, yes, I will because I'm doing it on the computer. So it'd be good. Thank you very much. I am really getting more physical. I've been on this computer because I've been so upset about this whole situation in this nation the past 4 years. But I'm getting more physical. So I'm getting ready to get out and protest, just like Orly Tate said the other day. We all need to get out. Protests. I'm like, yes, we do, Orly. You know.
Yeah.
So
and,
yes.
And being out, you know, and for me at least, and for those, you know, who are familiar with, you know, myself and the show, you know, and how I am with nature and things of that, you know, just being out in nature is just that's mm-hmm. for me. It's very revitalizing. I mean, when I know I'm feeling kind of cooped up and things of that nature, no pun intended, I guess. But just being outside, being among the trees, yes, I'm the resident tree hugger here. But, you know, being around the trees and nature just really does wonders for me, and I recommend that to everyone. And
well,
so,
I hope so.
I'm sorry?
I hope nature is good to us this Saturday. We've got an overpass that's going on, and we got 60% chance of thunderstorms.
Hey,
well,
you'll have electricity guiding you.
Well, I hope so, and, you know, I'll talk to some folks on my end about some nature and see what we can do. You know, it's a resident druid here, so.
Yep. Awesome.
So anyway,
we'll do it.
I don't want to get cut off with my ending here, as sometimes we do. Because,
yep.
You know, I do like to play the song by Aubrey Ashburn, where you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. And, of course, check out the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And, of course, last but not least, the Bard's Logic Political Talk site at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Check out the sponsors. Check out the Give page that also has some wonderful organizations that can use their help, and also some of the links that we have on the Get Involved page there on BardsLogicPoliticalTalks.com. So good night, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Good night. Enjoy.